Go. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we've been hammering this and hammering this and hammering this. This keeps going on. This country's not going to look anything like the country you were born in. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein is straight ahead. It's 12 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 63 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by MLT Vacations. There will be no monorail from Denver to Vail. CDOT and the Federal Highway Administration have shot down that idea to relieve congestion along I-70 through the mountains west of Denver. Instead, the commission is leaning towards some less expensive alternatives like highway expansion and special bus services to help with overcrowding on the 144-mile stretch. A final plan will be approved in 2006 with project completion slated for 2025. The man arrested for allegedly offering to kill the Colorado woman that claims L.A. Lakers star Kobe Bryant raped her in June has a hearing set for today in Los Angeles. Prosecutors say Patrick Graber's arrest was the result of a sting operation in which he agreed to carry out an attack on Bryant's accuser for $1 million. Graber was arrested after picking up a bag that supposedly contained the money. He was booked on charges of solicitation to commit murder, and his bail was set at $1 million. Graber's attorney, Peter Kinect, says his client simply wrote fan mail offering to solve Kobe's problem. Thanksgiving is just around the corner, and that likely means escalation of a recent cooking trend, namely the deep-fried turkey. While the holiday bird might not have much of an opinion about turkey fryers, some safety organizations do, as we hear from Wendy Krajewski of the North Metro Fire and Rescue.
The National Fire Protection Association actually has flat-out stated that they do not support turkey fryers of any sort, and Underwriters Laboratories, which is an independent safety testing lab, has decided that they will not certify any of these fryers as well. So both these organizations are against this product.
Krajewski says these contraptions tip over easily, spilling up to 5 gallons of 300-degree oil from within the cooking pot. Sometimes that oil can hit the burner or flames, at which point the turkey is not the only item that's being cooked. If you insist on deep-frying your Thanksgiving turkey, Krajewski says, read the owner's manual and follow those instructions. The self-proclaimed king of pop is now a wanted man. Police have issued an arrest warrant for Michael Jackson. Negotiations are said to be underway with the pop star's lawyers on the terms of his surrender. Yesterday, police executed a search warrant at Jackson's lavish Neverland Ranch. They seized dozens of boxes but remain tight-lipped about the warrant. A Jackson family attorney later told NBC's Today Show the search warrant stemmed from allegations of child molestation. President Bush is citing substantial progress in Iraq and questions those who think the world would be better off with Saddam Hussein still in power. In his London speech today, Bush says Iraqi people rejoiced at Saddam's fall.
The inhabitants of Iraq's Ba'athist hell, with its lavish palaces and its torture chambers, with its massive statues and its mass graves, do not miss their fugitive dictator. They rejoiced at his fall.
Bush said the U.S. and its allies will not retreat because of a band of thugs and assassins. The president vowed to continue using force if necessary in the defense of freedom. Meanwhile, security is said to be extremely tight throughout the United Kingdom. As President Bush and First Lady Laura Bush are in town, the White House is voicing confidence in British security, despite the fact that an undercover reporter claims to have been able to infiltrate the force guarding Bush during his trip. U.S. and Canadian investigators are expected to identify multiple reasons for the massive August North American power blackout. They'll release an interim report today on the blackout that plunged some 50 million people in parts of the Northeast, Midwest, and Canada into darkness. Dozens of foreign currency traders have been arrested in a scam that is shaking Wall Street. Glenn Shook has the story.
The 18-month investigation dubbed Operation Wooden Nickel could bring up to 30 years in jail to each of the 47 traders charged with stealing millions in bogus foreign currency exchange transactions. The FBI's Pascal DeMuro explained how some of the traders were taken into custody yesterday.
Many of those defendants were arrested last evening at Two World Financial Center as they gathered for drinks and what they thought was going to be the beginning of a gambling junket to Atlantic City. In fact, they lost their gamble before they ever got there.
U.S. Attorney James Comey says these kind of scams have been going on for years, but he warns traders now who are up to no good to be looking over their shoulders. Glenn Schuck in New York.
In sports, the Denver Nuggets come home tonight to face the Milwaukee Bucks at the Pepsi Center. The Nuggets slid to 5-5 last night in losing to the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Avs beat the Anaheim Mighty Ducks 2-1 in overtime last night, winning for the fifth time in six games. The Avs host the New York Rangers tomorrow night. Let worry-free vacations take you to Puerto Vallarta. Round-trip airfare and three-nights hotel is only $424 per person. Call your travel professional or visit worryfreevacations.com for more details. Restrictions apply. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:05.
Hi, I'm not a personal trainer or a nutrition specialist, but with the lifelong dieting struggles I've had, I consider myself a weight loss expert. I've tried every fad diet out there, low carb, no carb, high fat, high protein. They just didn't work for me. Then my doctor told me about a different kind of program, the Colorado Way. Developed by the Center for Human Nutrition at the University of Colorado, this program has helped hundreds of people just like me. It's a personalized 12-week course led by a registered dietitian, and it meets in my own neighborhood. I learned realistic ways to add proper nutrition and physical activity into my lifestyle. Now I know how to lose the weight and keep it off. If you or someone you know is struggling with weight loss, call 303-892-0128 for a free phone consultation and start living the Colorado way.
Are you ready to lose weight? Look for our ad in the Denver Post and call 303-892-0128 or visit coloradoway.com. That's Colorado, W-E-I-G-H.com.
KNRC News Time is 12:06. Let's go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Cleaning off all our accidents, this traffic report is brought to you by Owen Sausage. Our last problem was northbound I-25 at Highway 7. Well, that should be out of there. We do have some construction. Morrison Road between Wadsworth and Garrison. And up in the high country, Loveland Pass is closed so they can do a bit of accident cleanup up there. Make the holidays even more special by treating your family to Owen Sausage. Now your local Albertsons has Owen's Roll Sausage and new Owen's Express, 2 for $5. Owen's, from our family to yours. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC Traffic.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Grab the sunglasses. You're going to need them at least through Friday. We have lots of sunshine out there for today thanks to surface high pressure topping out at 67 degrees. Later on tonight, down to 35. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, high of 70 and partly cloudy for Friday. Very slight chance of rain showers cooling off a bit, 55. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 64 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now, the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
12:07, 7 minutes after 12 o'clock. Well, welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and later in the broadcast, we're going to be joined by the writer, Rita Mae Brown. She's also a poet. She's a best-selling author. She was nominated for a Grammy Award, an Emmy Award, sorry. Some of her best-selling books, Ruby Fruit Jungle, which I think a lot of you know. And she is doing a mystery series which really puts animals in positions of, makes them sort of characters. And a lot of people really like these mysteries. These are doing very well, and they've been called compelling and engaging and all those good things, and she's well-known, and she's going to be a tattered cover tonight, Cherry Creek, at 7:30. Friday, we'll be joined by Jean Shinoda Boland. She's a psychiatrist, MD, a psychiatrist. She writes these great books, Synchronicity, let's see, what are some of her other books? I can't think right now, but Synchronicity was one of the big ones, and her new book is called Concentrated Wisdom for Juicy Women. So she'll be joining us, and she's a Jungian, and she kind of believes in all this intuitive stuff, all that blue sky stuff that guess who's believing in right now? New agey stuff. Rush. He is. He's rushing to immerse himself in all this BS-O-matic. Well, we'll talk about that. I got some good stuff on Rush that you may want to hear. In the meantime, as you know, one of my odd eccentricities, and God knows if eccentricities were money, I would be a rich woman, reading the obituaries, and here is the death of somebody I never heard of before, and he's 95 years old. And here's the headline on the obituary. His name is Fritz Kramer, 95, tutor to U.S. generals and Henry Kissinger, and he dies. And I thought, oh, what an intriguing headline for this guy. So I'm reading about him and what a remarkable life and what an influence he has had on countless members of the Pentagon, very high-ranking generals, Henry Kissinger, and people at that level and even above, if you can imagine. And I have never even heard of this guy. His name is Fritz Kramer. He was a refugee from Nazi Germany. He's a Lutheran, very devoted to his faith. He tutored generals generations of America's leading generals in historical and geopolitical thinking, and he died in Washington at 95. And the story was that he was born in Germany in 1908. He was son of a prosecutor and an heiress. He had conservative instincts, but he venerated history and culture, devoted to his Lutheran faith, acquired a doctorate in both economics and law, two different doctorates, in fact. During the turbulent early 1930s in Germany, he often joined in street battles against both the Nazis and communists. In 1933, he left Germany to work as a legal advisor for the League of Nations in Rome. And then on the eve of war, Germany, 1939, he fled to the United States. And what he did is he enlisted in the American Army. I think he was just a private or something. He wasn't any kind of a rank at all. But once in the American Army, here was a guy who cut a very eccentric figure, and he's photographed. He always wore a monocle, and he carried a riding crop while speaking loudly in a strong German accent. So he already sounds like a caricature. But anyway, his demeanor attracted the attention of Major General Alexander Bolling, commanding officer of the 84th Division, who assigned him to his headquarters. One of Kissinger's biographers is Walter Isaacson, who we have interviewed here. He used to be the head of CNN and used to run the Time Warner, Time Magazine empire, and he runs the Aspen Institute now, and he has a best-selling book with Benjamin Franklin. And Walter Isaacson, who was, as I said, Kissinger's biographer, said that here were these two guys in the army together. They were both privates. Henry Kissinger, who had not yet gone to college, I think he was something like 20 years old. And here was this guy, Fritz Kramer, who by the time he was a private already had two doctorates. And they got to know each other. They first met at this camp. And Kramer had spoken, given some sort of a speech, and Henry Kissinger, then only 20 years old and a private, was so stirred by it that he wrote Kramer a note, and he said, "I heard you speak yesterday. This is how it should be. Can I help you in any way?" Well, anyway, Kramer looked up this young guy and was impressed by his intelligence, that being Kissinger. And it turns out that this guy, Fritz Kramer, who just died at 95, that his patronage of Henry Kissinger turned out to be momentous, because he would, during the next 3 years that they were all in the army together under the worst of conditions, he would pluck Henry Kissinger out of the infantry, secure him these plummy assignments, once as a translator, once to administer the occupation of captured towns, eased his way into the counterintelligence corps, had him hired on as a teacher at a military intelligence school in Germany, and then persuaded and convinced him to go to Harvard. Kramer is often described as the man who discovered Kissinger, but Kramer says no. He said, "My role was not discovering Kissinger. My role was getting Kissinger to discover himself." Kramer was captured in the Battle of the Bulge, and soon after, now listen to what a remarkable guy he was. He was captured by the Germans in the Battle of the Bulge. Remember, German was presumably his first language. Soon after he was taken, he convinced his German captors that an Allied victory was imminent, and he persuaded them to surrender themselves and the town to him. So without using guns, without using bullets, but using his apparently considerable powers of persuasion, he convinced them to surrender themselves and the town to him, and for this he received a Bronze Star and a Battlefield Commission. Henry Kissinger has written that Fritz Kramer was the greatest single influence in my formative years. He cited the conversations the pair had had as they walked battle-scarred streets together. The older man, he wrote, spoke of history and post-war challenges in his stentorian voice and awakened my interest in political philosophy. They stopped speaking for 28 years because in 1975, Kramer disapproved of Kissinger's policies of détente with the Soviet Union. But last year, Kissinger telephoned his old mentor. So that was the story of Fritz Kramer. And the story of mentors and mentees, if there is such a word, is that eventually they often come to loggerheads and they often stop speaking to each other. But Fritz Kramer, there might not have been a Henry Kissinger as we know him had there not been a Fritz Kramer. And that's the thing we really don't always know. When you see these celebrities, when you see them pretending to be like the rest of us, when they live in a universe so rarefied that it would be beyond our abilities probably to describe it. But when you see these celebrities on The Tonight Show, let's say, or on with David Letterman or Conan, you know, all these shows, or even Jon Stewart, You forget that they are the hood ornaments and the logos and the ambulatory manifestation of whole universes of people, support staff behind them. Not only just, you know, assistants and maids and butlers and household staff. Is this true, Joe? Oh, it is true? Okay, good. I have a story to tell you that one of you just emailed me that I just have to share with you. It's kind of good. But in any event, not only are they the celebrities in their own rights, but there's a whole mess of people behind them who make livings off of them. You have managers and business agents and agents and lawyers and executives at music and film companies and owners of nightclubs and, you know, God knows who all else. So when you have a guy like Henry Kissinger, he didn't get here by himself. The Rockefellers had taken an interest in him also and helped to promote him. A guy like Fritz Kramer, who meets him when they're both privates and both refugees from Germany, and they are both very young together in a war-torn situation where they talk each other into things that will eventually lead to greatness on both sides. Amazing stories. And Fritz Kramer had various titles in the Pentagon, but always his job seemed to be to tutor generations of leading generals, leading people in the Pentagon, and so on. So he had an amazing influence, was a mentor to many people in the whole government. And again, you'll see a president, but you don't know how the president formed his ideas, how he came to be who he was, who helped who along the way. All of that is usually invisible. Maybe it comes out in a biography later on, and maybe it doesn't. So it's interesting to hear to see somebody who had an immense influence on Henry Kissinger. And I love this line. He said, "My role was not in discovering Kissinger. My role was getting Kissinger to discover himself." And any of you who are brilliant teachers will understand the wisdom of that particular sentence. You don't discover somebody. The real genius is getting somebody to discover themselves. Well, you heard me just ask Joe Anderson, my producer, whether this was verified. I got an email from one of you, and I want to share this with you because I really, one of the questions that has come up here is you see this bumper sticker patriotism everywhere. We support the troops. Well, what does that mean other than that you put up a sign and a flag and you're wearing a pin, a flag pin in your lapel? What does it mean that you support the troops? If you own an apartment complex, are you cutting down the deposit that they have to pay? Are you going to cut them a deal on the rent that they have to pay every month? If you own a store, will you make a special deal? Will you give them a discount if they're fighting the war for us? Well, I'll tell you a company that is putting its money where its mouth is, and I wanted this verified because you never know on the Internet what you're getting. But here is an email that one of you sent me. I think, I don't know who sent it, I don't remember, but because it came through various people, but in any event, here it is. Let's see. Sears is apparently voluntarily paying the difference in salaries and maintaining all benefits, including medical insurance and bonus programs for all of its employees, called up all of its reservist employees, and that they're going to do it for up to 2 years. So this email says that suggests that we all shop at Sears and to be sure to find a manager to tell them why we are there so that the company gets a positive reinforcement. Anyway, they gave a number. This person decided, whoever emailed it to me, decided to check it out. And we called that number. Joe Anderson called, actually. And he was passed on to somebody else. And it was verified. The information is factual. And Sears appreciates our positive feedback. And I have to tell you something. Sears is probably not the trendiest place in the universe. And I started, my mom always was a big fan of Sears, and my uncle used to do business with them. But I guess unless you need tools or a Kenmore washer and dryer, which, by the way, Whirlpool private labels for Kenmore, or they always did, and I know this because Whirlpool is headquartered in my hometown in Michigan. You know, they have really, Sears always had good appliances and good tools and that kind of thing, but I don't think that was a place you thought of off the top of your head to go to for the latest in fashion if you were a woman or even a man. And what's brought me back to Sears is I get the Lands' End catalog, and I like to look through it, and sometimes I find interesting things. The thing is, Sears owns Lands' End. I don't know if a lot of people know that. And for some reason in Colorado, and I'm not too happy about this, but if you order something from Lands' End in Colorado, it's delivered in Colorado, not only do you pay shipping, But you have to pay sales tax, even though it's an out-of-state purchase, because there are Sears stores apparently in Colorado. And they charge you sales tax not only on the item that you buy, but they also charge you sales tax on the shipping, which I think is an outrage. And I did the math, and everything I was interested in, if I wanted to do it through the catalog, the shipping and the tax and everything added another 20% to the price. But what they tell you to do when you call and complain about this, other than, you know, too bad, screw you, is they tell you that you ought to go into your neighborhood Sears because there are Lands End displays and there are certain items from the catalog that are available at Sears, and so you don't have to mess with the shipping and you just pay the local sales tax. So I thought, aha, I was interested in something and I will go into Sears, and I probably haven't been in the Sears in about 5 zillion years. But I walked into the one in Cherry Creek. And much to my amazement, they didn't have what I was looking for in Land's End, but they had all kinds of things that I never expected to find in Sears, things that I thought were kind of cool. Some of their clothes were pretty interesting. I thought, wow, some of their shoes. I thought I was going to find old lady stuff in here, and no. And then I looked at the appliances, and there were interesting appliances, and I thought, I have been giving Sears a bad rap. So I sort of told that to my friends, and then guess what? I get this email from one of you saying that Sears is actually voluntarily. Now, apparently not all companies are bound by law to do this. At least this is our information, that they are voluntarily paying the difference in salaries, maintaining all benefits, including medical insurance and bonus programs, for all its reservist employees called up, and they'll do it for up to 2 years. So if you, I think this is a very concrete and very laudable example of supporting the troops. And if Sears is going to support the troops, then I think we should support Sears. What do you think? 303-382-1150. It was not quite always on my radar, Sears. I just really never thought about them very much. Although they do have a pretty good automotive section, I think, where you can go and get you know, I always got Sears batteries on my cars. That I think that those diehard batteries are pretty good, I always thought. And so I go in there for automotive stuff every once in a while. But I don't think I went in there to buy clothes. And I didn't know Land's End had displays. And so if Sears is willing to support our troops and pay the difference in their salaries between what they would have made at Sears and what they're being paid in the military, plus which they are also maintaining benefits, including medical insurance and bonus programs, then I think it would be very nice of us to support Sears. And I think that not only is that a very decent gesture that they're making to our military, but I think it's a great public relations gesture, and it will make me think about going there first for various items. Why not? If they're going to support the troops, I will support Sears. 303-382-1150. Okay, as we continue, more on Rush Limbaugh. And I want to talk about Rush Limbaugh and Channel 9's Andrew Resnick. And I want to ask your opinion about something. 303-382, I'll share it with you as we continue. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Finally, Denver has a talk station it can be proud of. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC.
It's a month of special Ellen events. Every Thursday, viewers give Ellen a makeover.
They say that everything in Texas is bigger, except for jeans. Take a look at my Rio Grande back here.
What will Ellen's next look like? And a dating show twist, with Ellen as the matchmaker. Will Ellen find a perfect match for her assistant, Jeff?
You know he's a germaphobe.
And next, Ellen, Queen Latifah and Sheryl Crow on The Ellen DeGeneres Show.
The Ellen DeGeneres Show, today at 3 on 9 News.
Hey, Kirk, what are you doing?
Kim, I'm writing a jingle about 4 o'clock at 9 News, airing right after Ellen DeGeneres. Okay, listen. Today, after Ellen, we are telling all the news you need to know, and whether it's snowing or not. Watch 9 News, 4 o'clock, because we're telling you the news.
Kirk,
Ellen. What?
I like it, but before the big finish, you need the announcer to say, watch the Ellen DeGeneres Show at 3, followed by 9 News at 4.
After Ellen. This will never make it on the air.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Hi, I'm Enid Goldstein. Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you.
CSO, the Colorado Symphony Chorus, and the CSO French Horn Section, all in one performance. Join the CSO this weekend in a performance of Mozart, Schumann, and Rossini. That's this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, November 21st through 23rd. Tickets available at all King Supers, Tickets West outlets, and online at coloradosymphony.org.
And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100.
It's estimated that over 30 million men in America suffer from poor sexual performance, or PSP, a common problem that affects adult men of all ages. The good news is science and nature have now come together to produce a new, all-natural drug-free option so men never have to experience PSP, poor sexual performance, ever again. Introducing all-new Procylon, a scientific blend of herbs and nutrients uniquely formulated to help promote sexual vigor and enhance sexual performance. Quickly and in the privacy of your own home, all-natural Procylon helps improve stamina, urge, and desire. And it's guaranteed to work for you. Maximize your performance with Procylon. Call now for your risk-free trial of Procylon at 1-800-701-4022. It's easy, completely confidential, and it'll work for you. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-701-4022. 1-800-701-4022. 1-800-701-4022.
AM 1150, KNRC is proud to continue a Denver broadcast tradition. The State of Colorado, produced in conjunction with the Denver Press Club and Rocky Mountain Reflections. The State of Colorado is where Greg Dobbs hosts a panel of Denver journalists discussing the major stories of the week every Friday morning from 8 to 9:30. It's the most in-depth analysis and perspective on Denver radio. The State of Colorado is brought to you in part by Denver Center Attractions and International Optique. Friday mornings at 8 on AM 1150, KNRC.
Hi, this is Greg Dobb. Join me every weekday morning from 6 to 10 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now, back to Enid Goldstein.
1226 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. And we're talking about, Sears, we're going to talk about Rush Limbaugh. We're going to talk about Michael Jackson. We're going to talk about President Bush and the palace security breach that occurred. Lots of things to talk about today, but let me get started. Sears is only, or any company is only required, I think, to hold people's jobs open if they're reservists and they've been called up, they've been deployed, say, to Iraq. The company is only required to hold their jobs open, but nothing more, so that the person can assume the position. Sears has gone farther. They are paying the difference between the reservist salary and what they would have made at Sears, and also they are continuing to provide benefits, all benefits, including medical insurance and bonus programs for all called-up reservist employees, and they'll do it for up to 2 years. Now, I think that's pretty amazing, and we have been able to verify some of that, most of it. And so if that's the case, and it appears that it is the case, this is what Sears is doing, then I think if Sears is I hope we're not a victim of a hoax here, but if Sears is supporting our military, then I think we should support Sears. And I was really surprised. I'm not a label snob, but I was in there to see if there was something in Land's End that I was looking for. And I saw a lot of cool stuff there in the way of clothing and shoes and accessories and all that kind of stuff, and stuff that I didn't expect to see at Sears because I hadn't been in there for really a long time in that part of Sears. You know, maybe the appliance section you go in or the automotive, but I wasn't thinking that I was going to find the clothing of my dreams at Sears. And you know what? They had some very cool things. 303-322-1150. Marty, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Good afternoon, Enid.
Hi, Marty.
I just wanted to call and say I had heard about this program or the action that Sears has taken with their employees who are in the reserves several months ago, actually, and I'm going to say I'm going to give your radio station credit. I believe I heard it on KNRC that they had planned on doing that. I'm a former employee many moons ago of Sears when I lived back on the East Coast, and they were always a fair company. I also go there and I buy tools, And, you know, you can find, amongst a lot of things that are made, certainly in China, you can still find a lot of American-made goods there. I don't go to Walmart in particular. I'm going to, you know, say that Walmart is not the company that they portray themselves in their commercials to be. Certainly they wouldn't do that to any, for any of their employees that went into the reserves, unless I, there's something I don't know. So, you know, it's good to see the, you know, the good side.
Well, here's what it's good to see. When you see all this bumper sticker patriotism, when people are saying we support the troops, Sears apparently is putting its money where its mouth is. And so I think if that's the case, we need to support Sears and Marty. I thank you very much for the call. 303-382-1150. I want to talk to you about Andrew Resnick. He is a Channel 9 weekend anchor. And they threw him in the pokey because allegedly an undercover or a cop who was off duty, not undercover, but off duty working a rock and roll concert, happened to spy him, and he was talking, Resnick was talking to another guy named Golden, and they walked into a Wendy's, and I don't exactly know how the cop determined that three ecstasy pills were being exchanged, but somehow that happened, and as a result, Andrew Resnick was in the pokey before they sprung him. They took him off to the pokey. He had no prior criminal history at all. I'm sure this is not going to be a plus for his career at Channel 9 or perhaps even a continuing television career. I don't know. But I want to contrast that with Rush Limbaugh. Now, here is three ecstasy pills that Andrew Resnick was allegedly caught with. Three ecstasy pills. Rush was alleged to have gobbled zillions of OxyContin, obtaining them, we think, allegedly illegally. Now, the only difference I can determine here, and Rush never spent 1 second in the pokey. The only difference I can determine, and those of you who are attorneys, I want to hear from you, or those of you who know the system, ecstasy is, I think, illegal. Is it not? Is ecstasy not an illegal drug? Whereas OxyContin is legal, but the allegations are that Rush obtained in massive quantities illegally. So it would be like, let's say, morphine. If you're in the hospital, they do morphine drips. Well, if they catch you with morphine, what do they do with you? If you're not Rush Limbaugh, I think they haul you right off to the pokey. Is that not right? If they caught you with morphine, what would they, these opiates, morphine I believe is an opiate, certainly OxyContin, an opioid I guess it's called. Hillbilly heroin is what it is referred to as on the street. Rush took zillions and zillions and zillions, allegedly, took zillions of these pills, and he obtained them illegally, we think, allegedly, and he didn't spend 1 second in jail. And here's Andrew Resnick, three miserable ecstasy pills, and it could ruin his life and his career. Is that fair? If anybody is part of the legal system, the criminal justice system, an attorney, and can tell me what the difference is, besides the fact that ecstasy is illegal, why did they put him in jail overnight? Why didn't they just release him on a, you know, on his own personal recognizance immediately? 303-382-1150. And how is it that Rush gets away with so much? And listen to this. There's more to the story. ABC News is reporting that radio talk host Rush Limbaugh, who I think really is lying to himself, continues to lie to himself and continues to lie to us, I think, that he may have violated state money laundering laws in the way that he handled the money he used to buy the prescription drugs to which he was addicted. This is according to law enforcement officials in Florida and New York. That's what they told ABC News. A conviction on such charges in Florida would be a first-degree felony punishable by up to 30 years in prison. Limbaugh returned to the airways this week. We know that. His lawyer, Roy Black. And remember, Rush slimed criminal defense attorneys for the last dozen years or so until he hired Roy Black when he got into the soup, right? Remember Roy Black, the criminal defense attorney who defended William Kennedy Smith on those rape charges? Authorities said that they became aware a couple of years ago. Limbaugh makes an estimated, if you think he's a man of the people, I want you to think again. He makes about $35 million a year, Rush. He'll buy a lot of OxyContin. And he had no shortage of legally earned money to buy the painkillers to which he became addicted. Authorities say they became aware 2 years ago during an investigation of New York Bank U.S. Trust that Limbaugh had taken between 30 and 40 cash withdrawals from his account in amounts just under $10,000. Banks have to report to the government if someone withdraws more than $10,000 at once for terrorism issues. Limbaugh's lawyers confirm that as part of U.S. Trust Service, a bank employee personally delivered the cash to Limbaugh at his New York studio in amounts of $9,900. So he was right underneath that $10,000 where it would have to be reported. That in itself, they're saying, is a suspicious activity. They're structuring the transaction to avoid reporting to the government, and the bank is required to file with the federal government something called a suspicious activity report, said an expert on financial crimes. Limbaugh's lawyers say it was U.S. Trust that suggested the arrangement. In July 2001, the bank paid a $10 million fine because of the Limbaugh transactions and many others like it. Limbaugh's name was not made public at the time, but officials told ABC News, details were forwarded to state and federal investigators in Florida. Now the problem will be, did he then assist his drug supplier in hiding the proceeds from the government? Limbaugh's lawyers said he did not do that and that he's being falsely accused by those who want to force him off the air. Officials say a decision on whether to prosecute on money laundering charges will be made in the next few weeks. Let me tell you something. Rush is just at the beginning of facing many demons, not the least of which are his own personal demons. But also, there are a lot of legal issues that are facing Rush Limbaugh right now. And I don't think he's honest with himself at this point, and I don't think he's been honest with us. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 12:35, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 64 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by GM OnStar. RTD's light rail system is getting bigger with six new spurs. The $5 billion Fast Tracks program will make the light rail system four times larger. RTD's board of directors approved the plan last night and will present it to voters in the seven-county metro area next November. If voters say yes, the 12-year project will get started in 2005. All's well in an Aurora apartment complex. Numerous units and an ambulance were gathered outside the complex near Alameda and Joplin, where they believed an armed man was barricaded inside his home. The man has since come out without incident, and units are leaving the scene. An arrest warrant has been issued for pop star Michael Jackson on multiple counts of child molestation. Bail has been set at $3 million. Santa Barbara County, California Sheriff Jim Anderson says search warrants were issued yesterday and a day-long investigation was conducted. Negotiations are being worked out for Jackson's surrender. In sports, the Denver Nuggets are home tonight against the Milwaukee Bucks. Nuggets lost to Minnesota last night. Colorado Avalanche beat the Anaheim Mighty Ducks in overtime last night 2-1. Avs will be home against the New York Rangers tomorrow night. Avoid that construction nightmare with the push of a button and the OnStar Directions and Connections Plan. Advisors give specific directions to dodge those delays. OnStar, always there, always ready. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:37.
It's the 27th annual L'Esprit de Noël Holiday Home Tour and Boutique. Tour five beautiful homes in Denver's Country Club Historic District, all decorated for the holidays by some of Denver's finest designers and florists. The tour runs Thursday through Saturday, November 20th through 22nd. Parking is available at Calvary Temple, 200 South University Boulevard, with buses to the tour homes. Tickets at King Supers for $13 or at the door for $15. Presented by the Central City Opera House Association Guild.
KBDI Channel 12 provides more locally produced public affairs programming than any other television broadcaster in Colorado. Join us every Wednesday and Friday for programs that tackle the local issues seriously. KBDI Channel 12, your worldview and community voice.
KNRC News Time is 12:38. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is a service of FedEx Ground, and really looking pretty good. We do have some paving operations. Morrison between Wadsworth and Garrison. And up in the high country, we do have Loveland Pass closed while they clean up an accident up there. Everything else, though, looking pretty good. Join the FedEx family at $11 an hour. Call 303-287-4279 or visit FedEx Ground just minutes from Commerce City off I-76 and 88th Avenue, 2 miles east of the Mile High Flea Market. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm meteorologist Ken Weathers with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Enjoy these spring-like temperatures while you can. It'll stay breezy the rest of the afternoon with highs near 67. Partly cloudy tonight, 36. A mix of sun and clouds, still warm on Thursday near 70. But some afternoon rain showers Friday, 55. Windy, much colder with snow Saturday, 24. For the Weather Channel, I'm meteorologist Ken Weathers on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 64 degrees. KNRC news time is 1239. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
This is Wally Frew of the Frew Law Firm. If you've been injured, you should speak with a lawyer about your rights and find out whether you have a claim against the person who caused your injury. Not every accident is someone's fault, but many accidents are caused by negligence. Your claim is worth looking into. Let the Prue Law Firm help you deal with insurance companies about your medical bills, lost income, and getting a reasonable settlement for your injury. If necessary, we'll go to court with you. The Prue Law Firm handles many kinds of accidents, like car accidents, wrongful death, slips and falls, dangerous products, medical malpractice, and other types of civil litigation. An initial consultation with the Prue Law Firm is absolutely free. I'm Wally Prue, and I will speak with you personally and honestly about your case. If you're looking for a lawyer who will personally work on your case and not see you just as a potential fee, please call me, Wally Prue, at the Prue Law Firm, LLC, 303-893-8331. Again, that's the Prue Law Firm, 303-893-8331.
Market Watch.
Two Cineplex operators are in talks to merge. AMC Entertainment confirming it's talking with Lowe's Entertainment about combining operations. It would create the continent's second largest movie theater chain. Right now, stock in AMC is up more than a half dollar on the American Stock Exchange. Lowe's Entertainment is privately held. One of the day's most active stocks is AT&T Wireless. After a report, it's ready to cut 3,000 jobs, or 10% of its workforce, outsourcing those positions overseas to save on labor costs. Right now, the stock is down 3 cents. But the big board's most active stock is General Electric. J.P. Morgan has raised its earnings outlook on the company after GE reaffirmed its own fourth quarter outlook and hiked its dividend. GE now predicting double-digit earnings growth next year in most of its units. Right now, the stock is up more than a dollar, or 3.5%. Wall Street trading right about at new highs for the day. The Dow is up 67. The S&P 500 up 8. NASDAQ gaining 19. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150.
We hear you.
303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
1241 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. And the question I'm asking is, how is it that Andrew Resnick got caught with three ecstasy pills, allegedly? That's what the papers reported, that they tested positive for being ecstasy, MDMA, I guess. And they hauled him off, right off to the pokey. I think he's, you know, they booked him right away. And then sprung him, I think, what, the next day or so on a personal recognizance bond. And Rush Limbaugh, who has ingested a Mount Everest, allegedly, of OxyContin and who knows what else, he didn't spend 1 second in the pokey. I know the difference is that OxyContin is legal and MDMA is not. Ecstasy is not. I think ecstasy is not legal. But if somebody had illegally obtained morphine, would they be walking around free and going into rehab? Wouldn't they be in the pokey? I think that's the same difference as what Rush was involved in. 303-382-1150. Steve, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I think the reason that Rush Limbaugh wasn't charged is because they have no physical evidence. They don't have any pills. They found that he purchased them. But they don't have.
He said that he was an addict, but I don't know if they've gotten into how he fed the addiction. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying.
So they didn't catch it. They didn't catch him red-handed with anything.
That's right. They don't have any physical evidence. They don't have any pills. They don't have. Maybe they could have acquired them.
Well, now wasn't the housekeeper? Wasn't the housekeeper wired? And in her transactions with him, they've got some kind of information.
Well, I'm sure they do. But they still have no physical pills. They have no physical evidence on it. And I think that's the difference right there.
So that's what you think it is. Okay.
Yeah, I believe that's what
you
it
think
is.
It's fair that three ecstasy pills in Andrew Resnick's career is on the line? And Rush can ingest 5 zillion, you know, who knows how much of this OxyContin. And but perhaps the other difference is that Rush is a well-known money machine. He's making $35 million a year because he's making vastly more than that for his company.
No, that's not it at all. What it is no physical evidence. Just like
I think that is it.
With Resnick, they have physical evidence. They have the three pills.
Steve, it may be what you're saying, but in addition to what you're saying is the reason Rush is back on the air is that he is a huge cash cow for Clear Channel. And if it was somebody else who didn't make all that kind of money for the company might be embarrassed and might drop him. And there have been many cases like that around. So I think that there's more than one thing going on. Thanks for the explanations. Another Steve on another cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
How you doing today, Enid?
Doing well, Steve.
Hey, first of all, I just wanted to let you know, I know last week you wanted conservatives to call you and defend the Bush policies.
Yeah.
If you picked the day and time, I'd be more than happy to spend some time debating that with you.
We'll get there.
Well, they're all there. The facts are out. There's no lies.
Okay.
The last gentleman stole my thunder regarding the difference between Rush and Andrew Resnick. I mean, I don't know why you don't see that, Enid. He was caught with the pills. Rush wasn't caught with anything. And here's what else is happening. I heard a gentleman talking the other day about this. And apparently the young lady who Rush's maid, who brought forth the allegations, their case is screwed anyway because she went to the Inquirer, and the Inquirer said, we're not going to do anything unless there's an investigation. So she went to the police and got an investigation started, but she's been paid $250,000 by the Inquirer.
Well, we don't know what the Inquirer paid her. Where did you find out that information? Because I think people are just guessing. There's no evidence of what they paid her. But that doesn't matter. The authorities have been conducting an investigation. And whether she did it for the money or she did it for other reasons, it doesn't matter. They wouldn't be conducting an investigation if they didn't have enough facts to do it. So He's been caught with legal drugs apparently illegally obtained. He's facing money laundering charges as well.
Well, I'll cut you some slack on that because I know you're on the radio at the same time he is. But he addressed that issue when he started off his show today.
What did he say?
He said that the bank, when he started the account there, one of the services they offered was bringing money to the office, and that they were fined $10 million because he, like numerous other clients, were told, don't withdraw over $10,000 if you can because it's paperwork, and they didn't want to do it. And that's exactly why he said he was he spoke to, I don't remember who it is that's in charge of that, but he spoke to the authorities.
Well, that's a part I don't really understand, because even if you've gamed the system, if it's 10,000 and over, it's got to be reported. If you have gamed the system and you're only withdrawing $9,900, I don't know why it should be an issue if 10,000 is the watermark. But apparently there's something else going on here that we're not aware of, because he is being investigated and so are others.
The investigation already took place, and that's why the bank was fined $10 million.
No, but there is apparently a new investigation underway. That's what ABC News is reporting. So take it up, Steve, with ABC News. I'm only retailing to you what ABC News is reporting. They're eyeing whether Rush Limbaugh laundered money used to pay for drugs. Now, if there's some laundering that's going on here, and if you haven't exceeded the $10,000, I don't know why they would get you for $9,900, but assuming that there's some rules here that we don't know about, and he used that money for the purchase of drugs illegally, then I don't know what he's facing.
Okay, well, hang on. This is exactly what happened. There is a rule. Anytime a transaction above $10,000...
Yes, I know that. We talked about that. We know that. You should be paying more attention, Steve. We've already discussed that.
Enid, you just asked a question that's already been answered. The bank, when he signed up for his account, said, don't withdraw more than $10,000 at a time so we don't have to do the paperwork.
Well, for some reason, whatever happened here so that everybody did these withdrawals that were under the $10,000, the rules were broken or the law was broken to the extent that the bank was forced to pay a $10 million fine. And they didn't pay it because everybody observed the rules. Something happened where the bank was somehow culpable in this matter. But according to ABC News, Steve, and you ought to check check ABC News and check the website. According to ABC News, there is another investigation underway. He may have violated state money laundering laws in both New York and Florida. And in Florida, he would be facing a first-degree felony punishable by up to 30 years in prison. So it sounds like it is a completely separate investigation. And here, so here is Rush facing more legal problems. And I think we're just at the tip of the iceberg. So here you've had 30 days or so of rehab. If you're Rush Limbaugh, so your body is working its way through dependency on a drug, which the dependency has been going on since at least, what, 1995 is what he's admitting to, and possibly even longer than that. So an almost 10-year dependency. You don't get rid of it, even if it's not in your body, in 30 days. Remember all those times you try to quit smoking? Do you remember all those times you try to lose weight and keep away from all that greasy rich food and all the chocolate in the world? Do you remember how you might have stopped doing that for a month or 6 months and then something horrible happened and you start smoking again to get you through it? Remember that part? You know how, and your brain chemistry changes when you have been an addict and a junkie for as long as Rush has been. So his chemistry is different than it was. Whether it will ever be the same again is an unknown. And you have these cravings and you have these psychological dependencies. So he's going to have many, mucho demons that he's going to have to deal with in his own life. Psychological demons. Oh, and here's the reason that, here was Rush saying this morning, as Steve reported, I was not laundering money. I was withdrawing money for crying out loud, Limbaugh said in his 3-hour broadcast. Now, if the standard is $10,000 is what you can't withdraw more than $10,000 without the bank reporting it. So structuring your deals at $9,900, why would that be against the law if it's only at $10,000? Well, because it can be a federal crime, according to ABC News, to structure financial transactions below the $10,000 limit to avoid the reporting requirement. So they get you coming and they get you going. And I don't even think I like that law very much because I think it's a very horrible law. It's Big Brother. And what if you're making a $5,000 withdrawal and another $5,000 withdrawal? And then they say, well, you know what? You structured that to avoid these. I mean, how is anybody exempt in taking out their own money? So that's a whole other issue. But in any event, if they thought that he was structuring the withdrawal in order to avoid the $10,000 reporting law, then he could be in the soup for that. But again, Andrew Resnick, 3 ecstasy pills, he's in the pokey. Rush Limbaugh, zillions of Mount Everest of OxyContin, if we can believe the maid. And he doesn't spend 1 second in the pokey. Granted, ecstasy is an illegal substance and OxyContin is legal, but presumably illegally obtained in this case. And as some of you pointed out, perhaps the difference is they caught Andrew Resnick with the stuff in hand, and they did not catch Rush Limbaugh with the stuff in hand, though they probably could have. If the reports were hearing that the maid was wired and recording things, they probably could have caught him in with the stuff red-handed. Why didn't they? Is another question. Did he get special treatment? And I'll tell you why he's on the air, and I'll tell you why they rushed him out of rehab and on the air very quickly. Now, some people go to work, and for them it's a salvation, and it keeps their mind off drug cravings if they've been in rehab. Other people, it's an added pressure that might actually force them to relapse. And the relapse rate, I have heard, is as high as 80% in that first year when you're out of rehab. So he is rushed back because Clear Channel, which syndicates his show, and that's because they own Premier, which is the company he's with, but Clear Channel owns Premier. So he's owned by the Walmart across the way. Clear Channel doesn't want to erode the advertiser base, and they don't want to erode the audience base. They want him back and on the air as soon as possible. And they've done private polling to see if there was very much in the way of erosion. And so people thought he was going to be off the air, and that string of substitute B-minus hosts was going to come slacking through the gates for another month. I think everybody was going to pull out their hair. So I'm sure there was a lot of pressure. And I'm sure that what will also happen is that Rush will be isolated from everybody else because they want to keep an eye on him. And that isolation, I don't know if that will help him. Certainly that isolation will function so that we will never know if he relapses and falls off the wagon. We never knew the first time. And it's a little bit like catching your beloved cheating on you. He had a secret that he kept from all of us. And the question is, Can you ever believe him again? How do you know that a junkie doesn't lie again? 303-382-1150. Dwayne calling from Aurora. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, good afternoon, Enid.
Hi, Dwayne.
Hi, just one thing real quickly. If you can obtain prescription drugs illegally, and if you do obtain them illegally, they become an illegal substance because of the way you obtain them. So it's pretty much, there's no real delineation in the law between going down to the corner and buying a packet of heroin or ecstasy pills, or going down to the corner and illegally acquiring a handful of Vicodin or OxyContin or anything else.
You know, you can get this stuff online, and I don't even think you have to fake up a prescription for it. And so is that an illegal? Are you getting it illegal if you just go online and you're getting it from other countries, Africa, for example, or other countries?
You are, and I know one of the scams that the online place is doing are they actually have online doctors where you answer about five questions.
Yeah,
and they
allegedly review, but sometimes you get counterfeit drugs.
Yeah.
But sometimes you also get real drugs, and you don't know what you're going to get, I think.
Yeah, and I know it's illegal for a physician to prescribe them inappropriately, but I'm real curious, have you had a chance, and your previous caller kind of highlighted this, years and years and years ago I used to think Rush was kind of interesting to listen to, he could be kind of witty, but I gave up on him after, you know, more than half of his show became simply self-aggrandizing, and he, you know, obviously screens his calls so tightly that literally 95% of all his calls are just, oh, I love you, Rush.
I know, ditto heads.
Yeah, and it became just boring, and then, you know,
well, I want to address that, and that's a good point. Thanks for bringing it up, Dwayne. Thanks for the info. I think arrogance is probably the answer. I mean, Enid Goldstein, you're listening to AM 1150.
A station built by Coloradans for Denver and Colorado. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNIC.
Ever go to the gym and feel like you're competing in a beauty pageant?
Like, oh my God, that outfit is so last year.
Or that you've landed on Planet Meathead, where the necks you see are thicker than your thighs?
Come on, we only have 3,000 more breasts to go.
Tired of hearing the grunting just before the weights crash to the floor? Then come to where fitness isn't a competition or a measure of how thick your neck is. Dumbbells Fitness prides itself in attending to the details of a workout and takes care in creating a fun and relaxed atmosphere that makes even the gym phobic feel comfortable. Dumbbells Fitness is the vegetarian of all gyms. They keep their meat in the freezer. Dumbbells Fitness is located on the second floor at the Tabor Center at 17th and Larimer in downtown Denver. Call now, 303-592-7700. That's 303-592-7700. Or log on to dumbbellsfitness.com. Visit us at Dumbbells for your authentic workout.
This is Eric Muller reporting from Shopify.
Cut!
News happens fast. Can I afford to let a cold slow me down? Not up here. When I'm achy, with a stuffy nose and a sore throat, I take Advil Cold and Sinus. It's got the power of Advil to handle tough pain, plus a hard-working decongestant. That's why they call it Advil Cold and Sinus.
Quick, over to the highway!
I call it fast relief for a reporter on the fly.
For tough colds, advance to Advil Cold and Sinus. Use as directed.
In a perfect world, your entire family would agree on what picture to use in the holiday card, and your family's card would be displayed front and center on everybody's refrigerator. But the world isn't perfect, and that's why there's Walgreens, where you get 20 photo greeting cards for only $14.99, and they're ready the next day, well in time to make the holiday season picture perfect. That's life. This is Walgreens.
Being tough is her job, and she does it well. She is the enforcer.
Hanging up, you're grounded. That means no phone.
Come on, it was only weed. I only did it once.
She doesn't love being tough. She's tough because she loves the enforcer.
When I say no weed, I mean no weed.
She's more than a hero. She's
a good mom.
Parents, the anti-drug. For information on how to keep your kids away from marijuana, visit theantidrug.com or call 1-800-788-2800.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
The 27th annual L'Esprit de Noël Holiday Home Tour will be held Thursday through Saturday, November 20th through 22nd. Greg Dobbs here inviting you to tour five beautiful homes in the Denver Country Club District, all decorated for the holidays by some of Denver's finest designers and florists. Tickets are available at King Supers for $13 or at the door for $15, with all proceeds benefiting the Central City Opera House Association Guild. For information on L'Esprit de Noël, go to centralcityopera.org.
Have you separated from military service and wish you had never left? Join the Air National Guard, work part-time, and earn retirement benefits. Log on at goang.com. That's goang.com.
Kick off the holidays by attending the Art Reach Festival of Trees, November 15th through 30th at the Wildlife Experience. Presented by RE/MAX International, 2003 marks the 25th year of this landmark Denver holiday event, featuring gorgeous trees, wreaths, and decorations. Admission is only $6 for adults, $5 for seniors, and $3 for kids. And all proceeds benefit Art Reach, a Colorado nonprofit changing lives through the arts. For information on the 2003 Festival of Trees, go to artreachdenver.org.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
It is 12:59. We'll take your calls in the next hour. We're talking about Rush Limbaugh. I just want to say one thing. I remember why that $10,000 requirement was now imposed on the banks. They wanted to get at drug traffickers, and that was the way they were going to do it, and then they've extended it now to terrorists. So if you try to withdraw more than $10,000, $10,000 and above, from your accounts at the bank is forced to notify the government. However, if you structure the financial transaction below $10,000 to avoid the reporting requirement, you could be violating, so it can be a federal crime. And in Russia's case, if he was using that money for the purchase of drugs, he might fall under that Druggie Act. The whole thing, you know, the whole reason the law was created in the first place. Two more hours of Enid coming up right here on AM 1150 KNRC.
Both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 64 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Amica Insurance. The Regional Transportation District is ready to move forward with an expansion that will make Denver's light rail system four times larger. The $5 billion Fast Tracks program will expand the RTD light rail system to include six new spurs to Golden, DIA, Boulder, Longmont, Aurora, and Highlands Ranch. The RTD Board of Directors approved the plan last night and will present it to voters in the seven-county metro area next November. If approved, the 12-year project will get underway in 2005. The Swiss man, charged with offering to kill the Colorado woman who has accused Kobe Bryant of rape, was in a Los Angeles courtroom this morning. Steve Gonzalez has the story.
31-year-old Patrick Graber is accused of offering to kill the 19-year-old woman who accused Lakers star Kobe Bryant of raping her. Authorities say, though, they arrested Graber when he went to pick up what he thought was a $1 million payment. Prosecutors say they now have information about a grand theft charge they want to add to the mix. That, combined with bail amount questions, prompted Judge William Ryan to move the case to December 11th. For the time being, though, the suspect's bail is set at $1.5 million. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Gonzalez.
The Westminster police officer who shot and killed a prowler in Denver near his mother's home won't face any criminal charges in the case. Denver District Attorney Bill Ritter decided not to charge Officer Carl Shirk yesterday. However, Ritter did say that he couldn't call the shooting justified and says the officer put himself in harm's way, which showed bad judgment. The shooting on September 22nd resulted in the death of Sergio Alejandro Medrano and was the second fatal shooting for Shirk in just 5 months. An arrest warrant has been issued for pop star Michael Jackson on child molestation charges. Santa Barbara County, California Sheriff Jim Anderson says search warrants were issued yesterday.
The service of the warrants was part of an ongoing investigation alleging criminal misconduct on the part of Michael Jackson. The basis for this investigation regarding Mr. Jackson involves allegations of child molestation, 288A of the California Penal Code.
Negotiations are being worked out for Jackson's surrender. Bail is set at $3 million. President Bush is again defending the invasion of Iraq, saying it was a justifiable move in the global war on terrorism. In a major policy speech in London, Bush said the world is safer now that Saddam Hussein's regime has been conquered. A joint U.S.-Canadian task force is blaming last August's massive blackout on a number of errors and technical problems, most of which happened in Ohio. Energy Secretary Spencer Abraham says the task force is of the unanimous opinion that Ohio-based First Energy Corporation is the likely culprit.
The Electric System Working Group found that the initial events that led to the cascading blackout occurred in Ohio. The blackout was initiated when three high-voltage transmission lines operated by First Energy Corporation short-circuited and went out of service when they came into contact with trees that were too close to the lines.
He says the conclusion was reached only after hundreds of experts spent countless hours poring over technical data relating to the August 14th blackout. Heart-wrenching testimony is being delivered in the capital murder trial of D.C. area sniper suspect Lee Boyd Malvo. Earlier today, a daughter of one of last fall's shooting spree broke down as she told jurors about how she felt when she heard her dad had been shot outside a restaurant. In nearby Virginia Beach, the sentencing phase of convicted sniper John Allen Muhammad's capital murder trial continues. Prosecutors are seeking the death penalty against Muhammad. Dozens of foreign currency traders have been arrested in a scam that is shaking Wall Street. The 18-month investigation, dubbed Operation Wooden Nickel, could bring up to 30 years in jail for the 47 traders charged with stealing millions in bogus foreign currency exchange transactions. An FBI spokesman says some of the traders were taken into custody last night while they were gathered for drinks for what they thought was going to be the beginning of a gambling junket to Atlantic City. One U.S. attorney says these kinds of scams have been going on for years, but warns traders now should be looking over their shoulders. Enjoying a cup of hot cocoa may not be a guilty indulgence after all. Food scientists at Cornell University say that beyond the froth, cocoa actually teems with more cancer-preventing compounds than two drinks touted for their health benefits. The discovery apparently came as a bit of a shock to the researchers, who predicted that green tea would prove to have the most antioxidant activity. But as it turns out, cocoa has nearly three times the flavonoids as green tea and nearly twice the antioxidants of red wine. The findings will appear in an upcoming issue of the Journal of Agriculture and Food Chemistry. In sports, the Denver Nuggets are in action tonight at the Pepsi Center against the Milwaukee Bucks. Nuggets lost to Minnesota last night and dropped to 5-5 this season. An overtime win for the Colorado Avalanche last night as they beat the Anaheim Mighty Ducks 2-1. Avs welcome the New York Rangers tomorrow night to the Pepsi Center. Call now to discover why Amica is rated number one in customer satisfaction. Call 1-800-24-AMICA. That's A-M-I-C-A. Amica Insurance, Auto, Home, Life, Integrity. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
KPI Channel 12 is your public television source for reliable public affairs and international news programming every day of the week. Unafraid of dissent and debate, KPI Channel 12 features diverse perspectives on local issues and challenges our viewers to be a voice in their own community through Colorado's only television viewer call-in shows. Tune in every Wednesday night for Colorado Inside Out Live and Drawing the Line with Reggie Rivers. And don't miss BBC World News weeknights only on KPI Channel 12, your worldview and community voice.
Anyone who gets heartburn knows how irritating it can be, which is
why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant Maximum strikes my lines, a liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something.
Velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. My lance is wonderful, wet, drenching sensation,
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try Maximum Strength My Lanta.
Soothing at the speed of life.
KNRC News Time is 106. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by AutoZone. Pretty good drive out there right now. We are accident free. You will see a bit of a problem on Morrison Road between it's going to be between Garrison and Wadsworth. They're doing construction up in the high country. Watch for winter driving conditions. And they've also had to close Loveland Pass due to earlier accidents. Get to AutoZone during fall car care season and pick up some Prestone antifreeze. Flush and fill your car's cooling system and make sure it's ready for colder weather. Get in the zone, AutoZone. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm meteorologist Ken Weathers with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Winter returns for the weekend. For the rest of the afternoon, breezy at times with a mix of sun and clouds. High near 67. Partly cloudy tonight. The wind dies down. We'll fall back to 36. and a mix of sun and clouds Thursday. Still mild near 70, but a little cooler with rain showers Friday afternoon, 55. Windy, colder, snow Saturday, 24. For the Weather Channel, I'm meteorologist Ken Weathers on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 64 degrees. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
107, 7 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock late in the broadcast. Ruby Mae Brown, the writer, is going to be joining us. Rita Mae Brown. One of her best-selling books was called Ruby Fruit Jungle. And so I got a little confused. But it's Rita Mae Brown. Her new book is called Full Cry. She's going to be at Tatter Cover tonight. Cherry Creek at 7:30. Her books have been bestsellers, and she's been nominated for an Emmy, and a lot of you are great fans of her work, so she'll be joining us later in the broadcast. A couple of things. You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger is outlining a plan to handle the California deficit, and he's facing, I don't know, a deficit of something like $15 or $20 billion. Remember, California is the fourth or fifth largest economy in the world. And a friend of mine, I was talking to a friend of mine who's an accountant yesterday, and my friend said he had a plan to get California out of the soup really quickly, and that is legalize, decriminalize marijuana. It is one of the biggest cash crops in California. I'm telling you, they grow tons of this stuff in Mendocino, Santa Amelia. I mean, this is a way you can tax it, you can get money out of it, you can blah, 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 blah. And that would be a very quick way for Schwarzenegger to get California out of the soup. I bring this up because we have been talking about the difference between Andrew Resnick, who got caught with 3 ecstasy pills, and Rush Limbaugh, who apparently ingested zillions of OxyContin over the years. And Andrew got hauled off to the pokey and Rush did not. Now, I was incorrect. We did some checking. I thought that ecstasy was illegal. It is not. MDMA is legal if prescribed by a physician. So it was the illegal, getting of the drugs, obtaining the drugs illegally. That was the problem for Resnick. Apparently therapy patients, a lot of people who are seeing shrinks, are sometimes prescribed MDMA, which is the major component of ecstasy. So MDMA is in fact legal if prescribed by a physician. So I had that wrong. I thought it was an illegal, that they had made it an illegal drug. What they said is you can have it, but it has to be prescribed by a doc. So it wasn't something that you could just get. And for a while, I think you could get it, and there were no penalties. But now it has to be prescribed by a doctor. Heroin, in no way legal at all. Nobody can prescribe it. No doctor can prescribe it. Now, there are probably good medical uses for heroin. I think the form of it that's used is morphine. Isn't morphine a derivative of heroin? Anyway, these are opiates. And OxyContin is called hillbilly heroin. And remember, well, the reason that Rush is being scrutinized now on these potential money laundering charges is that you can't withdraw more than $10,000 in cash from your bank without the government being notified. So, of course, if you don't want to do the paperwork and you don't want to know what you're doing, you structure the transaction so it's $9,900, which is what Rush apparently was doing. And I thought, well, why would that be a crime if he is not at $10,000? Because it can be a federal crime to structure financial transactions below the $10,000 limit to avoid the reporting requirement. So they do catch you coming and going, and that's a law that I think we need to look at more because I don't think that's a really good law. Excuse me. But the reason it was instituted in the first place is to catch drug traffickers. Now, here's Rush Limbaugh allegedly using some of these funds for the purchase of drugs, legal drugs, illegally. So does he come under this net that's intended to catch drug traffickers? Because is he not trafficking in drugs then? And also then it has been extended after 9/11 to catch terrorists as well. And the other question that we have been considering here, what about Andrew Resnick? Should his career be over because of 3 pills? It was a mistake. It was a misjudgment. I don't think it should be criminalized activity. I think somebody who's caught with legal drugs illegally ought to get some counseling. I think it's a health problem more than it is a criminal problem. What do you think? Should his career come, which is, I think, on the line, should it, worst case scenario, should it come to a grinding halt because of 3 ecstasy? Let me tell you something. I'm going to sort of off the record tell you that in newsrooms throughout America, television newsrooms, broadcast newsrooms in the 80s and even into the 90s, everybody and their mother was on cocaine. And those stories surfacing now about Matt Lauer using blow in the 80s, in the middle 80s, his supplier probably needing some dough and so selling out his story to the National Enquirer and ratting out Lauer, not atypical at all. People simply didn't know about it. A lot of people grew out of it, thank goodness, and a lot of people didn't and were felled by it. But there was an awful lot of it going on at that time. So I'm not surprised. 303-382-1150. Pat, calling from Conifer. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yes, good afternoon, Miss Goldstein.
Hi, Pat. Call me Enid, please. Miss Goldstein was my mother.
Well, my wife and I enjoy your show and your discussions tremendously. I had two short points. I know you're a busy person today.
Okay.
The 10,000 rule, just a side note, originally, like you said, it started off in the drug issues. It was for deposits, not necessarily withdrawals. As a former resident of Miami, that was a big thing back then. The druggies would deposit more than 10,000. The IRS was to be notified.
And now they've added then withdrawing 10,000.
That is correct. But initially, I just decided, no, that's not a real big topic of discussion. But I did want to discuss real short the rules of evidence. It seems to be a colorful discussion from a variety of callers that state that there's no direct evidence. Well, actually, the rules of evidence are implied. If you have three pills in your possession or you ingest the three pills, the same rules apply. Given, for example, that if you have it in your system, then it can be implied that you were volunteer in taking that drug or illegal whatever.
Pat, are you an attorney?
No, but I dabbled in. I went to Naval Law School, and I was a former police officer from a long time ago. And
so you know about this. So in other words, the fact then that Rush has admitted that he was an addict and a junkie, does that imply, I mean, how do we know that he obtained these pills illegally, although we're assuming that the police know that because I think that either the maid ratted him out or was wired or they had stuff on the answering machine. They had some physical evidence.
It depends on the statute under the federal umbrella for that area, and I'm not familiar with that particular state. But, yes, if he has it in his system and he does not have authorization for that particular medicine or drug, then it is implied legally and can be prosecuted for having that in.
I'm going to split hairs with you. Let's say that we can take Rush's story at face value, that he had surgery, failed back surgery, and the doctor writes him a prescription for OxyContin, which expired a long time ago.
Okay.
Could he say that the pills that he had in him now were from that original prescription rather than from having illegally obtained OxyContin for, you know, in the ensuing time period?
Absolutely. There is a timeout period, too. Some drugs last 3 or 4 weeks, so he would have to justify that when he was tested.
He might have said, well, the ones that you caught me with were from the original legally prescribed stash.
Good defense. Even though it was 10 years ago. And
I should be his defense attorney instead of Roy Black.
Absolutely. Stayed in his system for a long time. On a side note, for example, just to touch on the same subject, a person who is intoxicated and driving home and pulls off the side of the road, crawls in the back seat of the car, if when the police officer comes by and see why the car is parked there, and the person is intoxicated, if the person has possession of the car keys, he is guilty of intoxicated or drunk driving.
Even though he's not driving.
That is correct. If the keys are in his possession, as in the system, if you took three pills, it's in your system, he is guilty for drunk driving.
What is considered in his possession? What if they're just in the ignition and they're not in his hand or his pocket?
If he's the only one around, it's going to be implied that he drove that vehicle there.
So he should hide the keys someplace?
Yeah, actually. You take them, hide them under a rock and sleep it off, and then there is no crime committed. And, it, you know, it's just, I'm just kind of, you know, it's a different angle. But if he's got it in his system, it is implied that he was volunteered to take those illegal drugs.
I'm going to tell you, in California, they passed a law where if you were loaded and you were walking down the street and you were loaded, they take away your driver's license. Not that you were driving. You were just loaded and you were walking home from the bar and they caught you, they take away your driver's license.
You know, God bless America.
God bless America's right.
I'll have our little ways. But I did want to touch base with you on that.
Pat, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Good information.
Happy trails. See you later.
Yeah. Happy trails is right. So the question, Andrew Resnick, should his career come to a grinding halt because of three ecstasy pills? Would you take him less seriously as an anchor? Has he lost his credibility when you're watching the news? Are you thinking that he's doing as he's anchoring the news, are you thinking of him as in another incarnation doing a drug deal at a rock concert? You know, is that it? What about Rush? If you're listening to him, see, here's the thing: his listeners, so he's so is the standard bearer for his listeners against what they perceive to be a liberal media and conspiracy on all sides, that it doesn't matter. They just need somebody there, and it's going to be him. And if he does drugs, well, what the hell? You know, they don't want to think about that. They'll still love him. An arrest warrant has been issued for Michael Jackson, and authorities are asking anybody who can come forward who feels like they have been molested by Michael Jackson to come forward. Now is the time to do it. There's enough evidence from a 12-year-old boy, allegations of sexual abuse, that 60 or 70 swarmed the Neverland Ranch yesterday collecting evidence, and now an arrest warrant has been issued. Allegedly, Michael Jackson is in Las Vegas making some sort of a video. It's been reported that he has retained the services of Mark Garagos. Does that name sound familiar? He's the guy defending Lacey Peterson, and he also defended Susan, what's her name, from the Clinton, the Whitewater scandal. I can't think of her last name. Susan, she and the husband, Whitewater, and she went to jail rather than to testify against the Clintons. And then she came out and wrote a book about it, her last name escapes me. So one of you can think of it. But anyway, he was her attorney. On that case, he's defending Scott Peterson and the Lacey Peterson murder. And so apparently his services have been retained by Michael Jackson as, quote, a consultant on a consultant's basis. So I'm thinking if they're advertising for people who've been molested, little kids who've been molested to come forward, I'm thinking maybe it's like they ought to install one of those ticket machines. You know, you got to take a number. I don't know. But here's the question. I know that sometimes it's a lot less expensive to settle a lawsuit than it is to go to trial, and the potential for embarrassment is huge when you have discovery involved in a trial. So I can sort of understand why Michael Jackson arrived at a settlement from the allegations of that 13-year-old a few years ago, but that he never emerged from under that dark cloud of everybody's suspicions about Michael Jackson. And nothing he has done since then has allayed those suspicions. And suspicions so grave, if you were innocent, seems to me that you would fight those in court. But it's sort of a he say story. It's not even he say, she say. That child, that 13-year-old at the time, said that Michael Jackson made sexual overtures to him, that he wanted to do A, B, and C to him. I don't know how you refute that. If it's the kid's word against the adult's word, so maybe the way to handle it is, even if you're not guilty, is to pay it off and hope that it goes away, but that he's still sleeping with little kids, and that the parents of these little kids, just because of his celebrity, are letting them do sleepovers at the home of a 45-year-old man. Would you like to comment about, could we sign him up for the AAA AAA Plus Parenting School? 303-382-1150. Would you let your kids, just because someone is a celebrity, the power of celebrity, the power of financial success, Rush Limbaugh. Cash cow, moving on, back on the air. Andrew Resnick, three pills. I don't know what's going to happen to his career. You're the parent of a kid, and a 45-year-old man wants to have a slumber party with your 12-year-old kid every night of the week or even one night of the week, and you let it happen? Are you a responsible parent? You're seduced by the celebrity? You're thinking in your head, how can I get some of his money? How can we institute a lawsuit? How can we grab hold of some of his celebrities? Is that what you're thinking, Mom and Dad? If you're thinking anything at all, 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
We don't have to call San Antonio or Atlanta to get permission like some Denver stations do. Local talk, both sides, AM 1150 KNRC.
There's a spot.
By the shopping carts?
Well, how about here?
Next to that rust bucket? Wait, there's one.
It's a little far away, isn't it?
Yeah, perfect.
You want to keep your car protected. No one understands that better than your State Farm agent. That's why we insure more cars than anyone else.
We live where you live. We're a good friend who really cares. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Providing insurance and financial services.
In a perfect world, Christmas lights would only burn bright, not burn out.
And your pet wouldn't think every ornament is a chew toy. But the world isn't perfect, so there's Walgreens. Open late, many 24 hours, and right around the corner with light sets, trees, and ornaments you need to make the holiday season worry-free. That's life. This is Walgreens.
Through Saturday, selected Royal Dance cookies and Hershey's Pot of Gold are buy one, get another of equal value free.
Needless to say, I was anxious to be 110 miles offshore and jumping off a boat in the open ocean.
Jim Ray is a marine biologist who has been working with a national marine sanctuary called the Flower Gardens, deep in the Gulf of Mexico.
The Flower Garden banks are a very unique set of reefs. About 55% of the surface area is covered with living coral.
And while his work is not surprising, what might be is who he works for, Shell.
Just gives me a very different view and approach on the environment. Yeah, it has become an old friend.
Protecting this magnificent area is something people like Jim have been doing for over 30 years.
With this kind of protection, it'll probably be there 100 years from now for people to still enjoy.
And while Shell will continue to focus on energy, that will never be its only focus.
As long as I'm still allowed to dive, and I'm not too old to climb back on a boat, I'll probably have the opportunity to go back to places like the Flower Gardens.
To find out more, see the Shell report at www.shell.com.
You're listening to the sound an angel makes. An angel visiting the Salvation Army's website at salvationarmyusa.org. It's an easy way to buy a toy for a needy child or set up your own red kettle where friends can help those in need this holiday season. Make a donation to our new online Red Kettle and Angel Giving Tree programs at salvationarmyusa.org.
How would you like to spend your next vacation with Brad Paisley, Bill Anderson, Little Jimmy Dickens, and Ricky Skaggs? Come along with the Grand Ole Opry. The Opry Cruise is sailing to Grand Cayman, Cozumel, and other destinations in the Caribbean this January, and you can be aboard, courtesy of Banquet Home Style Banks. Just visit www.countrystars.com for more information. That's www.countrystars.com. Brought to you by America's favorite meal, Banquet Home Style Banks.
The 25th Annual Art Reach Festival of Trees is now open through November 30th at the Wildlife Experience Museum, located 1 mile east of I-25 and Lincoln Avenue. Bring down the family to see the festival featuring professionally decorated holiday trees and wreaths. Admission is only $6 for adults, $5 for seniors, and $3 for children 5 through 12, free for kids under 5. For more information on Art Reach and the 25th Annual Festival of Trees, go to www.artreachdenver.org.
Hi, I'm Doug Kelly. Join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
124 on the Wednesday edition. Ooh, Enid Live. Ooh, Bad Boys. You could say that. Rush Limbaugh and Michael Jackson, what do they have in common? Both are bad boys. Bad, not just bad, but bad boys. We've been talking about both of them, and also, I don't know if you're aware of this, of course, President Bush is in first state dinner for an American president in 5 million years in England right now. They're getting ready for it, and of course, President Bush is somebody who disdains all that pomp and circumstance. He made it clear that he had to rent white ties. He could rent a brain, too, for the occasion, but that's another story. The big story emanating out of England right now is that a newspaper managed to position one of its reporters as palace staff, a major security breach, because it could have easily been a terrorist, and nobody even vetted the guy's credentials, which would never have held up to scrutiny. He said he had all these credentials, which apparently nobody ever checked on the palace staff, and by becoming a member of the palace staff long enough to be there when Bush arrived, he got the itinerary, he found out where Bush would be. I mean, he could have easily committed a terrorist act. So, big scandal in England right now. Big scandal here, too. Michael Jackson is going to an arrest warrant, molestation charges. He has hired Mark Garagos to consult for him. And Jackson's lawyers have said that the search at his home was a smear campaign time to hit the singer's new album. I don't know about that. But if you were a parent, let me ask you, would you let your kid do a sleepover at Mikey's house, thinking that maybe you could get something out of it? Celebrity, a job, $20 million settlement. I mean, what do you... You don't have to, you know, you can use a fake name, but we want to hear from you, really, honestly. Will you let your kid sleep over with Mikey? Dave in Denver, how you're live with Enid.
Yeah, Michael Jackson is the exact reason why
conservatives are anti-gay, because you have a homosexual man, Michael Jackson.
Well, I don't know if he's homosexual.
Blessing little children, little boys.
Well, wait, I don't know if he's homosexual.
Well, he's absolutely homosexual.
Whoa, whoa, wait. How do you know that? You held the gaydar over his head?
Well, it's obvious.
Well, no, you don't have any proof that he's homosexual.
Well, I do have proof.
What's your proof?
Would you like to hear it, or would you like to just go on?
What is your proof?
If you have sex with the same sex, that's homosexual.
How do you know he has had sex? These are just allegations.
Voice, which means
how do you know, Dave? You're just slandering him. You don't know for sure.
We don't know about the $20 million lawsuit that was settled out of court. The arrest warrant for Michael Jackson.
Yeah, but you don't have proof. You don't have. You have to have some proof, Dave. You can. You can. You know, you can believe whatever you want to believe, but you got to have proof before you say that.
Those, well, I have proof. I know that.
You don't have any proof at all, except the conversation you're having with your molars. Elaine, calling from Aurora. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I want to say one remark about that. First of all, the most pedophilic people are heterosexual males. I am a mother of three. I would never let my children get near Michael Jackson.
But if you were a stage mother and avaricious and all you wanted for your kid was material success or using your kid as a way to get material for success for yourself, don't you think there are no shortage of those kinds of people, that mentality in places like Los Angeles and Hollywood?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. The reason I called was I have very angry about this Rush Limbaugh thing. First of all, I don't care if he had the drugs on him or not. I'm comparing him to myself. I mean, I'm just a regular suburban mom who has no political connections, and I have no wealth. And what would happen if they accused me of the same thing? They would at least search my house. Has his house been searched? Not to my knowledge, anyway.
He lives in a $24 million estate, and somebody set me clear on asset seizure. In other words, now, is it that they have to find illegal drugs like marijuana in order to seize your boat, your car, your estate? Or can they find a legal drug illegally obtained, and that would be enough for them to seize your boat, your estate, your car?
Have they even looked in his house? I mean, if you're looking for drugs, you would think that's where to look. I mean, that would be my opinion.
I don't know if they've done a search, but I can tell you, riding with the cops on East Colfax, one genius got a brand new a four door, you know, a pickup truck with four doors, just gleaming. Picked it up from the showroom that afternoon. It was huge and looked like it was really expensive. And he was cruising for a hooker on East Colfax, which is his first mistake. And the second mistake was, instead of paying her the $20 that she would have wanted, he wanted to trade her a rock of cocaine, which made it a felony, and it meant that they impounded his brand new vehicle. I don't know if he'd ever see it again.
Yes, and one other point I wanted to make. This morning, I did hear the bit about the money laundering and Russia's quote-unquote explanation for such.
Mm-hmm.
If I understood what he said correctly, he said the bank had asked them to do them a favor by withdrawing less than $10,000. If my bank asked me to do them a favor, I don't think I would, and I would, you know, be rather suspicious. I don't think I would do that. And all of us, you know, when he says this, everybody goes, oh, okay, it's all right. I mean, you know, and no matter what he says.
It doesn't matter. These people desperately want a hood ornament, an ambulatory logo for their point of view. He's it. He has the mantle. He's been the most successful for conservatives. And they will cut him slack until there's absolutely no way that they can continue to justify it. So when he goes up there and he said, folks, this is the way it is, but it's a federal crime if you're structuring the withdrawal in order to avoid reporting the $10,000. And it was originally, that law was originally implemented to catch drug traffickers.
Right.
So even if you're trafficking in legal drugs, but you are illegally obtaining them, I wonder if you don't come in under the same kinds of sanctions. Anyway, they're looking into it. We'll see what happens.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, Elaine, one quick question. Would you let your kids do a sleepover at Mike?
I would not let my children near Michael Jackson. There is no way.
I think if we are going to get near Michael Jackson, we're the ones who should wear those surgical masks. Thanks very much for the call. I appreciate it. 303-382-1150. A lot of people are hooked on controlled substances. A lot of controlled substances are out of control. If you've been hooked on something like OxyContin, I'd like to hear from you. What do you think about Rush and the possible money laundering investigation that he may be facing? And then we have Michael Jackson. An arrest warrant has been issued for Michael Jackson on child molestation charges, sexual abuse, allegations of sexual abuse brought by a 12-year-old boy, and that he gave an interview talking about how he sleeps with little boys, but they just sleep together. There's no sexual involvement. I mean, I think he's nuts. His public relations people must be cringing. It's no surprise President Bush is criticizing the gay marriage ruling. President Bush criticized yesterday's ruling by Massachusetts highest court from London, striking down the state's ban on same-sex marriage, and said he would work with Congress to, quote, defend the sanctity of marriage in case the marriage has any sanctity left, with the divorce rate being 50% or more. What do you think? 303-382-1150. And Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney, who is a Mormon, says that he will push for a constitutional amendment to block gay couples from getting married in response to a ruling by the state's highest court. Again, I would ask the question today that I asked yesterday. What is it? How does it even affect your marriage at all or your life if gay people down the street are allowed to get married? What does this have to do with you? And how does this any more undermine marriage than the high rate of divorce or the way that we so lightly treat marriage? It's, for many people, an occasion for wheedling as many gifts as possible out of the guests before people get a divorce 10 minutes later. I'm in favor of waiting till the marriage holds out for at least a year or two before you send that gift, because you might be sorry that you bought one. I have been in the past, I'll tell you. 303-382-1150. You know, here's what would happen if the gay couple down the street were allowed to get married. Your property values would increase because they would do a queer eye for the straight guy makeover of the house, of wherever they're living. They would be very good neighbors to have. And I know I'm doing a stereotype here, but I couldn't resist. 303-382-1150. Keith in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, how's it going, Enid? It's a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you.
Like a breath of fresh air, being in Colorado, I'm not from here, and it's just so conservative. But I appreciate the radio station. I'd like to comment about Michael Jackson. I've seen the interview, and to be honest, I have two kids, and I personally don't think that he's actually molesting these kids. I just feel the type of person he is, he's just a little kid himself. You know, he's just a really little kid. He's been a little kid in that whole mindset the whole age. I believe he's
he may not be molesting him. I mean, you know, sometimes the line is a little muddy. Sometimes there is a line there. So you don't think he's guilty of anything. Is that what you're saying?
As far as no, I don't think he's guilty. And number one, I think the reason why he paid them off is you made a good point, is that it is a lot easier to save him the embarrassment and to save him the whole bill.
Well, how do you defend yourself when the kid says, he touched me here, he touched me there, he did this, he did that, and you say, no, I didn't. I don't know how you do the defense. But unless you allege that the kid has got an OxyContin problem at the age of 12. Thanks, Keith, for the call. 303-382-1150. Earl in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid. Earl, you got to turn down your radio. All right, we're going to say goodbye to Earl. You got to have your radio down, and for that reason, because we have a delay here, and that's why you are always told to turn your radio down. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 1:35, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 66 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by GM OnStar. You won't be taking a monorail to the mountains. That was one of the ideas for relieving traffic congestion on the 144-mile stretch from Denver to Vail. But CDOT and the Federal Highway Administration say it's too expensive. The commission is leaning toward highway expansion and special bus services instead. Final approval comes in 2006, with the project to be completed by 2025.
Denver TV station KCNC says prosecutors in the Kobe Bryant sexual assault case have asked a judge to order Bryant to undergo an HIV test. Citing unnamed sources, KCNC says the motion was filed under seal. KABC TV in Los Angeles says the judge has not yet ruled on the motion. Pop star Michael Jackson is wanted on multiple counts of child molestation in Santa Barbara County, California. Authorities announced today that an arrest warrant has been issued for Jackson's arrest and negotiations for the King of Pop's surrender are underway. In sports, the Denver Nuggets take on the Milwaukee Bucks tonight at the Pepsi Center. Nuggets lost to the Timberwolves in Minnesota last night. The Colorado Avalanche scored a 2-1 overtime win last night against the Anaheim Mighty Ducks. The Avs play host to the New York Rangers tomorrow night. When the unexpected happens, OnStar gives you and your family the safety and security you deserve. Just push a button and OnStar advisors are ready to help. OnStar, always there, always ready. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 1:37.
The Institute of International Education brings well-known experts to Denver to share insights about world affairs. Here's what Washington Post writer T.R. Reid had to say about changes going on right now in Europe.
The major goal of the Europeans, the term for this among the political scientists, is the counterweight theory. That is, they are going to be the other superpower. We're a superpower, fine. They're not too happy about it at the moment. But they're going to be the countervailing superpower. And this is a very common view among Europeans. Let me just read to you what I heard a European chief of state say in May of this year. Our unipolar world is inherently unstable. There is a need for a second superpower, and that will be the future role of the European Union. Now, which troublemaking European head of state said this? Tony Blair, our greatest ally in Europe. He's very pro-European, and he sees Europe as this countervailing weight to the United States.
Want to know more? Join us on the web at DenverWorldAffairsCouncil.org.
KNRC News Time is 1:38. Time to check with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Albertsons, and just a real nice drive out there right now. Continuing construction on Morrison Road between Garrison and Wadsworth. Up in the high country, you will have some winter driving conditions, so watch for that. Other than that, it's just a nice drive at this hour. Just in time for Thanksgiving, shop Albertsons, buy one, get one free sale with Dreyer's Ice Cream, 10-inch bakery pumpkin pies, Albertsons butter, Tropicana orange juice, and more. Albertsons, helping make your life easier. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm meteorologist Ken Weathers with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Don't get too used to these spring-like temperatures. It's going to stay breezy at times the rest of the afternoon with a mix of sunshine and a few clouds as highs reach 67. Partly cloudy tonight. The wind will die down. We'll fall back to 36. Then a mix of sun and clouds Thursday. Still mild near 70, but scattered afternoon rain showers Friday, 55. Much colder with snow Saturday, 24. For the Weather Channel, I'm meteorologist Ken Weathers on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 66 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1:39. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
If you haven't heard the big news about dieting, listen closely. The experts are now saying that low-carb diet plans do work. But if the thought of eating nothing but meat sounds scary to you, continue to listen closely, because the next 30 seconds could change your life. Introducing UltraCarb. UltraCarb is the original carb-blocking, fat-burning supplement guaranteed to help you lose up to 20 pounds in the next month without exhausting workouts or life-changing diets. With UltraCarb, you can continue to eat the foods you love, pasta, pizza, and bread, and still lose weight. After blocking the carbs, UltraCarb works with your body's natural fat-burning mechanism to rid your body of unwanted pounds. Imagine looking in the mirror a month from now and seeing the thinner, happier you. And because UltraCarb is 100% guaranteed to work, you have nothing to lose except unwanted pounds. Call now to find out how you can receive a one-month supply free with your order.
Call now, 1-800-451-6432. That's 1-800-451-6432. Lose unwanted pounds 100% safe and guaranteed. 1-800-451-6432.
KNRC Market Watch.
The blame game over last summer's blackout in the Northeast and Midwest is back on, and that's bad news for First Energy, the utility that owns the power plants at the heart of the outage, according to a report just released by a U.S.-Canadian task force investigating the incident. It says management failures and inadequate training at First Energy were to blame for the outage. First Energy stock is now down 75 cents. Wall Street, however, is positive inside the final hour of trading. Dow Industrials now up 61 points. NASDAQ is ahead by 16 points. That's 1%. The S&P 500 is up 8. Investors hot on General Electric today. It's the busiest stock at the NYSE and the top gainer on the Dow. After GE issued a strong earnings outlook for the next 2 years, stock right now up a dollar. Hewlett-Packard also helping to drive the blue chips as traders bet the company will post impressive quarterly results after the closing bell. HP now up 60 cents. And again, the Dow is ahead by 61. Joe Matthew from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150. We hear you. 303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
141 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. Rita Mae Brown will be joining us later in the broadcast. She has a brand new book out. And it's called Full Cry, and it's part of a series, a mystery series that she's writing. She's been nominated for an Emmy, and she's had many bestsellers, and she'll be at Tattered Cover, Cherry Creek, tonight at 7:30, so she'll be joining us later. President Bush is in London, and because there's this tight security bubble around him, he brought 700 or 800 people with him in his entourage. It's just an amazing, I mean, days of yore courtiers, when kings were living an opulent life, nobody has seen anything like this. Much of it is security, but anyway, about 700 or 800 people are part of his entourage, and he is staying at Buckingham Palace. And because protesters, and apparently there's a large protest underway right now in London, there's this huge security bubble around President Bush, so they're angry about it. And what they want to do is they want to upstage all this PR that they've got going. And so they are using mobile phones to do it. They are using gadgetry to let people know where he is. They're calling it Bush Chasing Bush. Let him know, and that so that they can disrupt photo ops and so forth. Protest organizers say they expect more than 100,000 people to take part. There is unprecedented security in London for the Bush trip, which coincides with heightened security alert because of possible terrorism. So that's going on in London. In the meantime, Jocko's CD is hit number one in Great Britain, so maybe all this publicity. There's a $3 million bond here that it's $3 million in bail, and he's got to turn in his passport. So there's some negotiation about turning him in, and all these child molestation allegations against Michael Jackson. If you had a kid, would you let him do a sleepover with that, what, is he 45, 47-year-old man? Maybe you could sue him for a few bucks. Is that what you would like to do for your child? Matt, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Doing well, Matt.
I saw you on Fox News over the weekend, and
thank you.
Unfortunately, they couldn't spend more time with you.
Well, thank you.
But
I tried to be a fox on Fox News.
Yeah, and you were.
Oh, well, thank you for that.
I wanted to comment on the gay marriage thing that it seems to me that you'll hear a lot of rationalizations and explanations, but when it comes down to it, the only issue that matters in terms of legal recognition of marriage is that the two individuals are consenting adults. I know a lot of people compare, oh, if you allow this, you'll allow all these other perversions, as they call them. Well, as far as I'm concerned, and I extend that even to something like polygamy, the reason why so many people have even cracked down on that is that a lot of the women were under 18. I think if you have women who are over 18...
Well, and under 18, and they were forced into it, too. That's not what they wanted to do, and
exactly.
Some of them ran away from home, and they were sanctioned by their families, and it got really ugly.
Exactly. And so if you have consenting adults agreeing to a bigamy or polygamy, then I think, legally speaking, you need to recognize that. You can't argue against the fact that the Constitution, if you are going to legally sanction something for one group of people, you have to do it for all. They have no way out of it. The only argument people have against gay marriage is a moral issue, which is then, in their mind, a religious issue. And it comes down to, I firmly think they just do not like gay people. They do not like the idea that they have to share something with gay people. And it's bigotry.
You think they're frightened that they might reveal to themselves that they are gay?
I think there's a lot of people like that as well. I think the people who hate gay people the most obviously are hiding something.
Usually you find them in a motel with a parishioner of the same sex. The ones who have inveighed the most against sex, they're always in bed with somebody. The ones who have inveighed against homosexuality, you always find them in the sack with the same-sex person. I mean, it's almost inevitable.
I'm telling you, watch in the next few years. Keep an eye on Pennsylvania's Rick Santorum, because I guarantee there will be a gay scandal in the next 5 or 6 years. Guaranteed.
All right, let's start printing up the invitations to the party we'll be celebrating.
Exactly.
Making it public. Thanks, Matt. I appreciate
Thank
the
you.
Call. 303-382-1150. Earl, you're back. I hope your radio is turned down. Welcome.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That was my fault. I apologize.
Okay.
I was wondering, because, you know, we talked yesterday about the gay marriage thing, and my position being staunch conservative is it really doesn't matter to me. But what I'm wondering is today all the Democrats are bailing on it. You know, they're saying they're for a legal situation where they can be together, but not marriage.
A civil union? Who's bailing on it? Because in Vermont, they did have civil unions, and that was Howard Dean's state.
Yeah, that's what Howard Dean says, that the situation itself makes him really uncomfortable. But he is for civil unions, but not for marriage. Just 3 of the 9 came out saying that they would go for actually legal marriages. Even Dean said that he doesn't want it. But what I'm wondering is the constituencies, the special interests in the Democratic Party, you know, the homosexual constituency and abortion and all that, why they would bail so quickly.
Who's bailing exactly?
The 6. 6 of the 9 have already came
which
out.
Of the they, three, which of the 3 are not bailing?
Mosley Braun,
uh-huh.
Sharpton, who is supposed to be a reverend, I think, and
he is.
Who is the other one? I don't remember who the other one was, but it's just 3. But I think the reason they're doing it is, which is to me so totally ironic, is I think, like, a lot of people like to take a behavior and match it with a race. I think that they've decided that they would rather have the black vote than have the gay vote.
No, I think they're looking at a very fundamentalist, middle American kind of vote, and maybe that's the reason they're bailing. I thank you for the call. I am watching footage right now of President Bush in London at a state dinner, seated right next to Queen Elizabeth. If ever anybody looked like their eyes, that they were a deer caught in the headlights, it's him. He's sitting between Princess Anne, the Princess Royale, and Queen Elizabeth. Queen Elizabeth's not really talking to him too much. She's mostly talking to Prince Philip. She's getting up right now to propose, I'm assuming, to propose the toast. And George W. Bush looks like he's so uncomfortable, like, what am I doing here? I hope I don't say anything wrong. And there was somebody counseling him. There's always a footman right behind every chair, I think, or it looks that way. And she is addressing him. But it doesn't look like they have a whole lot to say to each other. And he's sort of smiling and looking like he hopes he doesn't get anything wrong. So this is hilarious. I'm not listening to the... the sound is down, but I'm watching her give the toast, and there's Laura Bush. And Laura Bush is sitting at a different table, and she is sitting with Prince Charles, or as Diana used to refer to him, Prince Chuzz, C-H-U-Z-Z. You have to know about the cut crystal accent in England, the very upper-class accent, always become A's. I'm not going home, as we would say. But in the Queen's version of it, you would say, I'm gang hame. That's what they would say. I'm sure you wanted to know all this, but there's George W. Bush and Queen Elizabeth, and let's go to the phones. Eleanor, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yes, me?
Yes, hi, Eleanor. Welcome.
Oh, hi, sorry. Yes, I am. I wouldn't say that I am religious or a right-winger, but for me, I am not anti-gay, but I believe that marriage should be preserved for a man and a woman, primarily because of for the children. And I know that that sounds strange, but I think that we can have a society where people are very accepting of gay people and the lifestyle of gay people, and that gay people should feel free to adopt children. Where I have a problem
well,
is
well, but then let me play devil's advocate here, because actually, Laura Bush is sitting next to Prince Philip, in between Prince Philip and Charles, and they don't speak to each other most of the time, Philip and Charles, but that's another story. I would say this. Look, if you're in favor of gay couples adopting children, then they need to have the same legal rights as you might with your husband. Are you married, Eleanor?
Yes, I am, but...
So are you saying it'd be okay to have a civil union as long with the same rights so that if one of the partners gets sick, inheritance and whether they can be visited in the hospital and so on and so forth, that would be dealt with legally the way it is with marriage? Just don't call it marriage? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, I think that that's a partnership issue. I think it's much easier to go about laws through hospitals and to have, you know, to try to change the state laws than it is to... you know, change what marriage means. And I think you can be pro-gay, and I think part of...
But then can you have a civil union? Is that okay to have a civil union?
I think so. I mean, I think that there should be maybe some kind of acknowledgement of partnerships, people who want to, you know, live together, who don't necessarily want to get married. And I think that, you know, I think in Europe, at least when I lived there, I believe that they were doing some sort of thing. Where
France is doing that. There's like light marriage light, and where you can, and this is for heterosexuals. I don't know about homosexuals. You can be married and gay, I think, in the Netherlands and in Belgium. I don't know about France, but I do know that France has a kind of at real marriage, so marriage heavy, and then they have a civil union, marriage light. You don't want to make a 100% commitment, but you want to be together and you want to have certain legalities that are dealt with, then you do the light marriage.
Well, I'll tell you one issue that's important.
Just sort of like
I do have a problem with lesbian women in the sense that I actually have a cousin who's lesbian and I love her. I think she's great, but I have to be honest and say that. To bring a child into the world without a father. And I think that the feminist movement has somehow suggested that, you know, women don't need men.
I don't like that either. I don't like it when you have a woman who is not gay, who's feeling that her biological clock is ticking away, and she ambles on down with her turkey baster in hand to the Nobel Prize-winning sperm bank. I don't think that's fair to the kid, but there are many, many children who are looking for adoptive parents, who are looking to be adopted. There are many children in foster care. I think that would be good. And I don't have a problem with children with two, you know, does Heather have two moms or two dads? It's really better, I think, if they adopt rather than to deprive a child immediately from the get of both a mother or a father. So with you, I'm with you on that. But I don't have any problem gay couples getting married, whether they're lesbian or whether they're gay men. I don't, to me, I don't care, but you do, Eleanor, and I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
If a radio station solicits your call, shouldn't they let you speak? We will. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Here at Airborne Command Headquarters, we get hundreds of letters, some worthy of Chaucer, some not. But one thing they all agree on, they all love Airborne, the wonderful product created by a school teacher who was sick of catching colds in class. Now, what kind of kook writes in to praise a product, you ask? Hey, man, we're talking Airborne, the effervescent health formula that you drop in water and it tastes great. Airborne is a miracle cold remedy, writes Julie Wendt. Finally, a cure for the common cold, says Alec McMurdo. Do these sound like kooks to you? Of course not. So take Airborne. It's really good. Yeah.
Hi, this is Victoria Knight McDowell. I'm a second grade teacher, and I developed the dietary supplement Airborne because I was sick of catching colds in class. When you feel that first cold symptom, won't you please give Airborne a try? Thank you.
Find Airborne Natural Cold Remedy at Walgreens, Rite Aid, CVS, Longs, Brooks, Duane Reade, and Trader Joe's. Ask for Airborne, baby.
Nobody wants a soiled reputation, especially the finest hotels in the world. That's why hotels like Amelia Island Plantation rely on my 8-pound Oreck XL upright vacuum. Hi, I'm David Oreck. Try my Oreck XL risk-free in your own home for 30 days, and I'll give you my $100 cordless iron as a gift. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200, and get your home 5-star clean.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Hi, this is Bill Thorpe. Alliance Française de Denver presents a performance of the Daniel Meal French Jazz Ensemble Saturday, December 6th at 7 p.m. at the King Center on the Auraria campus. Daniel Meal is a jazz accordionist who uses the feeling of silence and the exactness of musical time to charm his audiences. Don't miss this rare performance of the Daniel Meal French Jazz Ensemble Saturday, December 6th at the King Center on the Auraria campus. For tickets, call 303-556-2296.
Stop by Bank One and get maximum strength checking. Now maximum strength checking comes with free online bill pay on qualifying accounts. So stop by Bank One today.
Talk to Bill O'Reilly.
Over the weekend, Al-Qaeda attacks Saudi Arabia. 17 killed, at least, in Riyadh. What is important about this? Two things. Number one, Saudi Arabia is now getting a taste of their own medicine. Most of the Al-Qaeda people captured are Saudis. 9-11 hijackers, most of them were Saudis. So there you know, you reap what you sow. The Saudis thought that they could play the game of buying the Al-Qaeda's off, and they wouldn't attack them, and now they have.
Bill O'Reilly, weekday mornings from 10 till noon on AM 1150 KNIC.
Hi, I'm Dominic Brasha.
And I'm Bill Thorpe.
Join us weeknights from 6 to 9 here on AM 1150 KNRC.
Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1:56 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm watching. President Bush now is going to address the Queen. So why don't we listen in on a little bit of that? This is a state dinner, the first state dinner for an American president in England in a long, long time. And let's just listen in as we go out. Rita Mae Brown in the second hour, in the 2 o'clock hour.
Hospitality and to be welcomed into your home. Through the last century and into our own, Americans have appreciated the friendship of your people. And we are grateful for your personal commitment across 5 decades to the health and vitality of the alliance between our nations. Of course, things didn't start out too well. Yet even at America's founding, our nation shared a basic belief in human liberty. That conviction, more than anything else, led to our reconciliation. And in time, our shared commitment to freedom became the basis of a great Atlantic alliance that defeated tyranny in Europe and saved the liberty of the world. The story of liberty, the story of the Magna Carta, and the Declaration of Independence continues in our time. The power of freedom has touched Asia and Latin America and Africa and beyond. And now our two countries are carrying out a mission of freedom and democracy in Afghanistan and Iraq. Once again, America and Britain are joined in the defense of our common values. Once again, America and British service members are sacrificing in a necessary and noble cause. Once again, we are acting to secure the peace of the world. The bonds between our countries were formed in hard experience. We passed through great adversity together. We have risen to great challenges together. The mutual respect and fellowship between our countries is deep and strong and permanent. Let us raise our glasses to our common ideals, to our enduring friendships, to the preservation of our liberties, and to Her Majesty, the Queen of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland.
I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to The Toast. This is a state dinner, the first for an American president in a very long time in England. The Queen and President Bush standing. He's toasting her. She toasted him. He's wearing white tie and tails. He took great pains to say that they were rented. One more hour of Enid coming right up. Rita Mae Brown will be joining us live in the studio.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNIC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 66 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the 17 John Elway Showrooms. Whoever thought up Colorado's flu hotline knew what they were doing. The hotline began taking calls this morning at 7, and Supervisor Anna Soroka says the trained professionals answering the phones have been getting an earful.
We had a large call volume with West Nile virus, but the first day of West Nile virus, for the entire day, we received 192 calls.
That was over a 16-hour period. She compares
that response to the first 4 hours of the flu hotline today?
We had well over 750 calls.
Soroka emphasizes that hotline staffers can answer your questions but cannot offer diagnoses. The hotline is open 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. The number is 877-462-2911. CDOT and the Federal Highway Administration have discussed options to help out with the 144-mile stretch of I-70 in the mountains west of Denver. One expensive option that has been eliminated is a monorail shuttle from Denver to Vail. Instead, the commission is leaning towards some less expensive alternatives, such as highway expansion and special bus services to help with highway overcrowding between Denver and the high country. Many cross-country truckers have also experienced problems on this stretch with commuter traffic. Final approval of a plan is coming in 2006, and the project is slated to be completed by 2025. Patrick Graber, the Swiss man who is charged with offering to kill the Colorado woman who has accused L.A. Laker Kobe Bryant of rape, was in a Los Angeles courtroom this morning. Here's Steve Gonzalez with the details.
31-year-old Patrick Graber is accused of offering to kill the 19-year-old woman who accused Laker star Kobe Bryant of raping her. Authorities say, though, they arrested Graber when he went to pick up what he thought was a $1 million payment. Prosecutors say they now have information about a grand theft charge they want to add to the mix. That, combined with bail amount questions, prompted Judge William Ryan to move the case to December 11th. For the time being, though, the suspect's bail is set at $1.5 million. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Gonzalez.
Meanwhile, KCNC-TV is reporting that prosecutors in the Bryant case have asked a judge to order Bryant to undergo an HIV test. KABC-TV in Los Angeles says the judge has not ruled yet on the motion. An arrest warrant has been issued for pop star Michael Jackson. Santa Barbara County Sheriff Jim Anderson says that the warrant is for multiple counts of child molestation, and the bail amount has been set for $3 million.
At this point in time, Mr. Jackson's been given an opportunity to surrender himself to the custody of the Santa Barbara Sheriff's Department within a specified period of time.
The warrant was for a section of the penal code which prohibits lewd or lascivious acts with a child under 14. When asked whether he had a message for Jackson, Santa Barbara County District Attorney Tom Snedden said, "Get over here and check in." Snedden added, "These are serious allegations." The King of Pop is reportedly in Las Vegas shooting a video. President Bush is defending the invasion of Iraq as a justifiable move in the global war against terrorism. Delivering a major policy speech in London today, Bush said the need for moral courage and patience is greater than ever. The president warned against relaxing in the war against terrorism. He noted that 67 British citizens were killed in the 9/11 terrorist attacks on the U.S. Bush said evil is in plain sight. Meanwhile, anti-war demonstrators continue to fill the streets of England. The daughter of a sniper victim took the witness stand today as the capital murder trial of alleged sniper Lee Boyd Malvo continued in Chesapeake, Virginia. Kathy Culpepper has the story.
Martha Sonata cried as she described how she found out how her dad, 72-year-old Pascal Charlot, had been killed. Charlot was shot as he stood outside of a Washington, D.C. restaurant back in October of 2002. Witnesses also testified about seeing the sniper car near the scene of that attack shortly after it happened. Although Malvo is on trial for allegedly shooting 47-year-old Linda Franklin to death that same October, prosecutors are presenting evidence from other sniper incidents in order to prove the capital murder charge against Malvo. Malvo's attorneys claim that he was indoctrinated by convicted sniper John Muhammad and was not responsible for his actions. Malvo could get the death penalty. Kathy Culpepper, Chesapeake.
Meanwhile, in the other sniper trial, prosecutors are trying to paint a pattern of violent behavior as they seek the death penalty against convicted sniper John Allen Muhammad. Today, they called Muhammad's ex-wife to the stand to testify in the sentencing phase of his capital murder trial. She told jurors in the Virginia Beach courtroom that after they separated, her still-then husband said to her, "You have become my enemy, and as my enemy, I will kill you." In sports, the Milwaukee Bucks come to town tonight to play the Denver Nuggets. The Nuggets dropped to 5-5 last night when they lost to the Timberwolves in Minnesota. An overtime win for the Colorado Avalanche last night as they beat the Anaheim Mighty Ducks 2-1. The Avs play host to the New York Rangers tomorrow night at the Pepsi Center. Still driving a car with big payments? The 17 John Elway showrooms want to swap cars with you. You'll end up making lower payments and have a new car. Let John Elway take your old car and lower your monthly payments. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecaster up next. KNRC News Time is 2:05.
Ever go to the gym and feel like you're competing in a beauty pageant?
Like, oh my God, that outfit is so last year.
Or that you've landed on Planet Meathead, where the necks you see are thicker than your thighs?
Come on, we only have 3,000 more presses to go.
Tired of hearing the grunting just before the weights crash to the floor? Then come to where fitness isn't a competition or a measure of how thick your neck is. Dumbbells Fitness prides itself in attending to the details of a workout and takes care in creating a fun and relaxed atmosphere that makes even the gym phobic feel comfortable. Dumbbells Fitness is the vegetarian of all gyms. They keep their meat in the freezer. Dumbbells Fitness is located on the second floor at the Tabor Center at 17th and Larimer in downtown Denver. Call now, 303-592-7700. That's 303-592-7700. Or log on to dumbbellsfitness.com. Visit us at Dumbbells for your authentic workout.
KNRC News Time is 2:06. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by AutoZone. Got a wreck on the ramp southbound I-25 to I-70. Northbound I-25 at Alameda. Sounds like a stall in one of the lanes there. Watch for slowing. Colorado and Florida got a bit of a bang up there as well. Get to AutoZone during fall car care season and pick up some Presto and antifreeze. Flush and fill your car's cooling system and make sure it's ready for colder weather. Get in the zone, AutoZone. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm meteorologist Ken Weathers with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Enjoy these spring-like temperatures while you can. It'll stay breezy the rest of the afternoon with highs near 67. Partly cloudy tonight, 36. A mix of sun and clouds, still warm on Thursday near 70. But some afternoon rain showers Friday, 55. Windy, much colder with snow Saturday, 24. For the Weather Channel, I'm meteorologist Ken Weathers on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 66 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
2:07, 7 minutes after 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. And with me live in studio is the best-selling author Rita Mae Brown. Her brand new book is called Full Cry. It's the third installment in a mystery series where animals play a prominent role. And she's going to be appearing at Tattered Cover Cherry Creek tonight at 7:30. Rita Mae Brown, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
I think you need to talk right into your microphone. Pull close. There you
can
go.
Can you hear me there?
Yeah, we can hear you. I remember the great success of your book, Ruby Fruit Jungle, and all of your books apparently are all still in print. You've written a number of books. You have written screenplays. You have been nominated for an Emmy, what, 3 or 4 times?
Yes.
So you have... you've had a really rich career as a writer. How did it begin?
On the high school newspaper.
Where?
Fort Lauderdale High. My parents moved to the South. This was before everybody else did. It was just, Florida was even more backward than Georgia back then. But I always liked to write, and I don't know. It was either writing or farming. Luckily, now I get to do both.
You write and you farm.
Yeah.
And you do fox hunting.
Yeah, that's the best.
And you're in Virginia. Now, we heard a lot about you because wasn't your significant other Martina Navratilova? Do I have that right?
Yeah.
That was a while ago. I think she lives in Colorado. I think she's a resident of Aspen part of the time.
Yeah, she is. She has a beautiful home.
So you two were in Idaho for a long time?
Not too long, 3 years. We were both very young, obviously.
And how did you meet? Did you meet in the course of doing your work?
No, I didn't. It was just serendipity. I mean, literally two people bumping into one another in Richmond, Virginia.
In Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah. There was a tennis tournament there, and I'd gone down and met her. It turned out we had a mutual friend, and I'd gone down to see my friend, and there she was.
Were you an established writer at that point, or were you just getting started?
I was lucky. I had a career very early because I was in underground newspapers in my late teens. And, of course, none of those exist anymore, you know, or they've become overground like the Phoenix in Boston and the Village Voice. But those days you didn't get paid in money, but you got paid in copies. But I had a reputation in my own generation by the time I was 25.
And was the first book Ruby Fruit Jungle, was it the first significant selling book?
Well, it was the first novel. I have 3 books before that. One was political essays and 2 were books of poetry. I first got published at 22. But Ruby Fruit was the book that just took off.
Why do you think?
I have no idea, except that it's funny. You know, and there's very little that's truly funny.
But it was about somebody coming into understanding that they were lesbian. I mean, there was that component to it.
Right.
But it was a crossover book. It wasn't just for gay audiences.
Well, there was nothing for gay audiences except for these kind of pulp fiction, you know, kind of like the Mickey Spillane version. And of gay. And nobody would say they were gay. You know, they would write under pseudonyms, and I didn't. I just said, well, yeah, here I am. Take it or leave it.
So you write that book, and you have a great success. And then what happens?
Keep writing.
Screenplays?
Well, I kept going. I did a couple more novels, and the third novel got on the New York Times bestseller list, and that was six of one, half a dozen of the other. And actually, the New York Times went on strike. It made every bestseller list in America, but the New York Times was on strike. And, of course, all your bonuses are tied to the New York Times. It was kind of rotten luck in one sense, but great luck in another. And then I came to the attention of Roger Corman in Los Angeles.
The film director.
And
producer.
So he said, do you want to try to write a movie? I said, sure, why not? I'll try anything. So I went out to L.A., and I wrote two movies for Roger and learned a lot. He assigned me to his vice president, was an English lady, Frances Kimbrough, who was a marvelous mentor, and she taught me how to do a screenplay. And then Norman Lear hired me to do television shows and stuff, and I had a Hollywood career. And every now and then I'll still do something for Hollywood, although it's changed a lot. There's actually fewer things you can do, and it's all kind of the same thing.
After Hollywood, you did what?
Just kept writing, just kept doing novels.
But why did you segue from Hollywood to Virginia?
Well, I lived in Virginia. I mean, that was my home.
So you go back and forth?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't really, like, live in L.A. I had a house and all that, but I never thought that I was living there. I just thought I was biding time, and I had a piratical relationship. You know, sail in, make the money, sail out.
So Virginia is your home, and at what point do you start writing this mystery series? Full Cry is a third installment. Is this the Sneaky Pie Brown mystery series?
No, those are different.
That's a different one.
Yeah, that's the cat. She has her own career, and she's got the big head.
And this one? Tell me about this book, Full Cry.
It's the third in a series. The first one's Outfox. The second one is Hotspur. And Full Cry, you begin to see the growth of the main character, who's 72 in this book, but very vital, as most fox hunters tend to be. And she's lost her husband to emphysema, and she lost her son when he was 14 to a farm accident. So she's a woman that's had to cope with very profound losses. And I think when something happens like that, you have only one question to answer, which is, do I want less of life or do I want more? And she chose more. So she's the master of this fox hunt, which is the person in charge of everything. And she lives a very exuberant life. But there's no one really close to her in the way of a husband or a son. And what happens in this book is she begins to find that while these murders are occurring. So it's an interesting moment for her.
Why did you start to write a mystery series?
I have no idea. I just do things. I just sit down and an idea pops into my head and I do it. I'm not a very self-conscious person.
And you write every day. What's your routine?
I get up at 5 or 5:30, and I have some stock to take care of because I'm on a farm. And then I try to get to the typewriter by 7, you know, 7:30. And I'm only good for 4 hours creatively. So I do that, and then I go out and do more work and then, you know, come back and try to knock off the last of the New York calls and start the California calls and then go back out. As long as there's daylight, you try to get, you know, as much done as you can.
What's happening on your farm? What kind of a farm is it? What kind of stock do you have?
Well, I have cattle and horses and timber and hay. So the only annual crop really are it's the hay. You've got to cut that and get it up and all this and that. But I love it. Well, but I was born to it. I mean, that's what I know. Like, I could no more be an insurance agent or an advertising executive than I could fly.
When you say you were born to it, talk about that.
Well, I was born on a farm.
Where?
My mother was mucking a stall at Hanover Shoe Farms, which is the largest standard bred farm in America.
And that is where?
It's 3 miles north of the Mason-Dixon line. And her water broke, and they couldn't get her down to Westminster, Maryland, which is everybody was in Carroll County, Maryland. So they got her to the Hanover Hospital, which was where I was born, Hanover, Pennsylvania, just about 3 miles north of the Mason-Dixon line.
And your parents farmed? Or they worked on farms.
They worked, and then my father was in the meat business, so there was always a lot of cattle moving hither and yon, and I learned a lot. I learned a lot from my dad, and I just my cousins all farmed, and my uncles all farmed. And
did you know that you wanted? Did you think that you really wanted to do that? I mean, you could probably just be a writer and not farm.
Oh, I'd be bored to tears.
So you need to have that physical.
Yeah. I want to be outside. I don't want to be sitting in a room all the time.
What is what does farming do for you? Rita Mae Brown, her new book, Full Cry. You can meet her tonight at her cover, Cherry Creek, 7:30. What does it add to your life?
Well, physically, I think it keeps you young. But also, you see how everything ties together. You know, people sit in these offices in front of computers, and they're reacting to a lot of information that's irrelevant. Doesn't mean a damn thing. And it exists just to get the money out of your pocket. You know, to try to make you uncomfortable so you'll go into a store and buy something to feel better about yourself. And they have to go to the latest restaurant to feel important and get the right table. It's completely superficial to me. Now, it may
and order the right Nouvelle dish.
Oh, yeah. To me, it's just totally phony. I don't want to do that. I don't want to waste my life like that, you know, wearing the latest clothes and trying to think of the wittiest thing to say so I impress somebody for 2 seconds. But millions do. Millions do. Their cell phones are ringing all the time. They got email messages, and they don't feel important unless they're rushed and overcommitted. I want to sit on my tractor and just roll down the road.
And you have got animals?
Yeah, I've got some cattle, and then I've got 30 horses and 70 foxhounds. But I mean, it's a fox hunting club, and that's actually not a lot of foxhounds. You have 3 fox hunting clubs in Colorado. You have Arapaho, Roaring Fork, and Bijou Springs, and some of those kennels are probably bigger than mine.
Well, I've covered the royal family, and I know that they come under a lot of criticism for fox hunts. So tell me about the magic of fox hunting. What is it for those of us who've never done it? I know Jackie Kennedy liked to ride to. What's the difference between riding to the hounds and fox hunting? Are they both one and the same?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
Interesting that you should bring up Jackie Kennedy, because I received a literary award years ago, and she was there. And after the award, you know, she didn't have to be hurried out, but she had to be somewhat protected. And she shook off her protectors and came up to me, even though there were many other people there far grander than I. And I said, well, you know, you fox hunt, you know that I've been riding with Orange. So we had a wonderful talk about fox hunting, and she was completely natural and I think thrilled to talk about something other than what people usually ask her. She's a very gracious woman.
Her daughter was sitting right in your seat.
Oh, really?
Yeah, not too long ago.
Well, she can ride. Caroline can ride.
What is the magic of riding? Describe the process. You have to get all gussied up in these outfits.
Well, those outfits are to protect you. The pants are of a material that will repel thorns, which on the East Coast we have a lot. We'll go through rough territory. The coats are almost like that boiled Austrian wool, and they'll also repel thorns. And you can be in a hard rain for 2 hours before it'll soak through. You know, so they help you that way. They also keep you warm. And the stock tie, that pretty tie, if you break your arm, you can tie it up, which is it's very handy. Or if you get all bloodied up, because you might, you know, you just wrap up the wound and keep going, because why stop, you know? Just keep going. William Faulkner hunted at Farmington, which is a hunt I also hunt with, and he broke his shoulder one time going into a fence, and he just got back up and finished the hunt. You know, that's what you do when you fox hunt.
What's the magic of fox hunting? Why would anybody want to do it? You have to have a horse. It is not for people on a shoestring.
Well, it is.
Is it?
You can hunt for the same amount of money you play golf. I mean, you can have one horse and take very good care of it and have somebody else trail your horse so you don't have to have all the equipment. But the magic of it is that it's very spiritual. It's very exciting, and you have to have courage to do it. But it's also extremely spiritual, because you see things nobody else will ever see.
Such as?
Well, I remember one time years ago, I was up at dawn, and we cast the hounds, and it was Virginia's very undulating and beautiful, and we were right at the base of the Blue Ridge Mountains, and there was a cornfield, and put the hound. There was a different man hunting the hounds. I was over at Farmington, and he put the hounds into the cornfield, and there was all this ground fog, you know, levels and levels of ground fog, and we were up high. And the sun just happened to come up the very moment he cast the hounds into the corn. So we could see the hounds, we could see the corn shaking, you know, as the hounds were moving through. And all of a sudden, all the ground fog turned scarlet. So there were these lakes of fire all around. It was the most beautiful thing I had ever seen. You know, and the mist on your face. It's an extremely sensual sport. But it's not for people that are control freaks, because you never know what's going to happen, because the fox doesn't tell you.
Describe to us, as we continue, maybe you'll describe to us what happens from the beginning of the fox hunt and what you have to do and how skilled you have to be and what the drill is. My guest, Rita Mae Brown, her new book, Full Cry, you can meet her tonight, tattered cover, Cherry Creek, 7:30. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Top radio talk show host, definitely Enid Goldstein, says the Rocky Mountain News, AM 1150 KNRC.
It's the 27th annual L'Esprit de Noël Holiday Home Tour and Boutique. Tour five beautiful homes in Denver's Country Club Historic District, all decorated for the holidays by some of Denver's finest designers and florists. The tour runs Thursday through Saturday, November 20th through 22nd. Parking is available at Calvary Temple, 200 South University Boulevard, with buses to the tour homes. Tickets at King Supers for $13 or at the door for $15. Presented by the Central City Opera House Association Guild.
Everybody said, go to MedVet.
It's Thanksgiving, and MedVet is saying thanks by giving you unbelievable savings on rows and rows of new Chevrolets. MedVet discounts brand new 03 Chevy Tahoes as much as $13,500. Buy 03 Cavaliers as low as $69.69. That's right, $69.69. And MedVet has Chevy Trailblazers for as little as $22,688. Plus, get 0% financing for 72 months on select sport utilities. And if you can find a better advertised deal on new Chevys, show it to MedVet and we'll beat it. Any dealer, any current ad. MedVet will beat their advertised price. Remember, MedVet has the highest trade-in allowances, the lowest interest rates, and acres of new Chevys. MedVet is the powerhouse. MedVet Chevrolet, on the I-25 corridor, depart the 181 ramp, Castle Rock, or on I-70 in Wheat Ridge. Exit Kipling, exit Ward, but exit the giant MedVet Autoplex. Chevrolet, we'll be there.
Everybody said, go to MedVet.
With approved credit, must qualify for Olds loyalty, military, and gas tank rebates. Stock number 6242 and 4389. See MedVet for details.
Hey, how are those juggling classes going?
Oh, great. I'm ready for the big time. Pass me those chainsaws, would you?
What?
Oh, no, I'm okay.
Now that's a bad decision. Fortunately, buying a GM-certified used vehicle that's fully reconditioned with a comprehensive limited warranty is always a good decision. GM-certified used vehicles. The right way, the right car. Qualified buyers get 3.9% APR financing on select GM-certified used vehicles from participating Chevrolet, Pontiac, Oldsmobile, Buick, and GMC dealers. Visit GMCertified.com for details.
I had a bad headache. I tried Advil Liquigels. They work faster than Tylenol.
I needed stronger medicine, and Advil Liquigels get that medicine to my headache faster.
I get better relief with Advil Liquigels.
Every day, more people are choosing Advil Liquigels to relieve tough headache pain. Advil has these advanced capsules with liquid medicine inside to rush relief where you need it. Proven faster, stronger, better than Tylenol.
Now, every time I get a tough headache, I choose Advil Liquigels.
For better headache relief, advance to Advil.
You know, the thing about winning awards is that you have to say award-winning this and award-winning that. And frankly, it's very tiring for a voice talent like myself.
Here's your Mai Tai, sir.
Thanks. But just in case you didn't know, you can download clips of award-winning news features and guest interviews from our award-winning website, made by an award-winning designer featuring award-winning hosts. Well, it's true. KNRCRadio.com has it all. But if somebody at the station wins a Nobel Prize, I'm out of here.
Lionel, would you join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC? Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:24 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. With me live in studio, the author Rita Mae Brown, best-selling author Rita Mae Brown, her new book, Full Cry. You can meet her tonight, tattered cover, Cherry Creek, 7:30. When we last left each other, you live in Virginia, and you have a farm in addition to writing. And you also, not only do you write, but you ride. And you ride to the hunt. You, in some places, they'll hit you with red paint for doing this. PETA will not like this. But tell me what riding, describe it. For those of us who've never ridden with a hunt or gone fox hunting, how do you describe it? I mean, what is the drill and what's the way of characterizing it? Are you calling it fox hunting? Riding to the hunt, how do you describe what it is you're doing?
Well, I mean, all of those are accurate. There's not like, you could say riding to the hounds or fox hunting. In truth, we're fox chasing. In America, you don't kill the fox. In England, they do. This is not because the English are brutes, but their agricultural practices are different. And foxes, it costs them a lot of money with their chinchilla crops and their sheep crops because they'll kill the babies. And here we don't really have those problems. So the fox is just fun for us. We don't want to wipe them out at all.
Where do you get them? Do you release the fox?
Oh, no. Oh, God, no.
They're just around?
Oh, yeah. We'd be thrown out of the Master of Foxhounds Association of America if we did something like that.
All right. We're in first grade here when it comes to fox hunts, or kindergarten or worse. So you don't rent a few foxes and put them out.
No.
But you have dogs.
We have hounds, yes.
Yes, you have. Oh, you can't call them dogs there. What's the difference between a dog and a hound? We should ask Elvis that, but he's busy.
Yeah, right.
He's busy right now.
A hound usually hunts by scent. In other words, if the fox walked in front of him, he wouldn't chase it. It has to smell the fox. Hounds is nose first, always nose first.
And what doggies qualify as hounds?
Dachshunds, beagles, harriers, foxhounds, plot hounds, coon hounds.
A dog that has an exquisite sense of smell.
Yeah, bloodhounds. The best nose in the world. Bassets or hounds?
I cannot imagine dachshunds leading horses, riders, out to chase a fox. Is that really true?
No.
They look so wobbly and hot doggy.
Well, not all hounds are bred to chase foxes. A dachshund goes in the den to get a badger out, you know, or to get a weasel.
Okay.
Where all hounds have different quarry. Otter hounds.
We should send some to Washington. There are a lot of weasels there.
Aren't there?
Yeah, we can send a couple of dachshunds out there.
We're paying their salaries. That's what kills me.
All right, so now you get a hound who ain't nothing but a hound dog. And how many people ride in the hunt?
Well, I mean, anywhere from, if it's a weekend day, you might get anywhere. I've had as many as 120 people. Some of the big hunts will have like 200. Usually, this is before New Year's. Once the weather gets cold, you'll get about 40 or 50. And then during the weekdays, because I hunt one day a week, I'll get maybe 20.
All right, so you all get gussied up. You get on your horses. The hounds are, as you put it, cast or released?
It's like a net. You literally cast them, and you control them with music. You carry a horn, and they're trained to recognize these notes. And the calls that you're blowing, they know what to do. And you've worked with them for
years.
What
calls are you making? What do you tell them to do with the music?
You'll tell them go into the cover, which means go look for the fox. Put your noses down, look for the fox. So then they'll go in front of you and they'll look. If you're the huntsman, which I am, they'll look. They'll put their noses down. They'll try to get scent. If they get scent, they'll speak. They'll start to sing to you. The first one that finds it will say, "I found it," and the others will come to that hound.
What do you mean they speak to you? They start barking?
We think it's music. We don't think it's barking at all. It's music to a real fox hunter.
When you say you're the huntsman, does that mean you're the master of the hunt? You're the leader of the hunt?
No, the master runs the hunt. The huntsman is different. You can do both. I do both. Often huntsmen are professionals. They're paid for their skills. And in the South, in slave days, African-American slaves who had skills at hunting might be able to get themselves out of slavery. They were also like rock stars. You know, anybody that was a brilliant huntsman, they still are. They're like rock stars.
So you're a huntsman, and what does it require being a huntsman? What do you have to do?
Well, I have to work with the hounds. And
you train them, too?
And I have to train them as a pack. It's one thing to train one hound. I have to train all of them. And every time, you know, I have to retire the older hounds when they can't do it anymore and bring along the young ones. So it's like a football team. You're always working with this team, and there's different positions, you know, just like there is in a football team. And their talent will tell you where they belong. And you work with them and you work with them. And
how many hounds?
I have 70, which is not an enormously large number for a fox hunting club. But
Do 70 go out with every hound,
no.
Even if only 20 people? How do you determine the ratio of hounds to hunters? If it's only 20 people riding during the week, how many hounds will go out?
Oh, it doesn't. The people are irrelevant. You just look at them. Like, in other words, if a hound is in season, you're not going to take her. She's going to be in her special quarters. If somebody, let's say, ran through barbed wire and it got stitched up, well, you're not going to take him. Fortunately, that doesn't happen very often. But sometimes they get foot sore because they can run 60 miles in a day. You know, the other thing to remember, which most people don't realize, is you have 10 million scent receptors in your nose. They have 110 million.
Oh, my God. They should be developing perfumes.
Well, they can smell thyme.
They can smell thyme.
They know if an animal's been there 3 days before.
Oh, that's a wonderful line.
I mean, it's extraordinary what their senses. We are nothing compared to them. And also they have long noses that warm the air up as it goes up into them, where we have these little short noses, and we're so high up, we miss a lot. They get everything. I mean, they know if you wore rubber-soled shoes. I mean, their senses are extraordinary.
So you release these hounds, you're on your horses, and the hounds start sniffing around for fox, and there are musical notes that sort of command the hounds one way or another, and then the hounds start singing back to you, and there's this dialogue going on between the hounds and the music and the riders, all unspoken, all nonverbal.
Right.
And what are you doing as a rider? You're following the hounds? Where are you going?
Do you know what you're doing as a rider? You're saying, Hail Mary, blessed art thou amongst women, because you want to live. And if you're flying along and a great big old 4-foot fence is up in front of you and there's a drop on the other side, you'd be amazed how you find God in the hunt field. I don't think there are any atheists that fox hunt. The huntsman, meanwhile, is trying to stay right behind the hounds and to see what's going on and, you know, where the fox is. Because usually you don't see the fox. Occasionally you will. But And you try to see, they might slow down, they might speed up, they might lose the scent, then they have to find it again, or they might put the fox to ground, which means it goes into its den, in which case, if you're the huntsman, you dismount and you blow a note of triumph. There's a little flourish that you blow, and everybody, meanwhile...
Does that mean that you caught the fox?
Well, you don't catch him. It just means you put him to ground. You don't want to kill him.
So is that always the point, to put him to ground?
If you can, you'd like to know what happens to them. You like to know where they got away.
Is it ever a fox hunt where they can't find a fox? There's no fox around?
Yeah. Bad scenting day. Let's say it's like 85 degrees. You have a freak heat wave. Something like that.
Okay. So now you're riding and wherever the dogs are going, you have to jump over everything. Used cars, fences, whatever is out there. You have to jump over it and be very brave. And then, The doggies converge, the hounds converge on the fox in some way and drive him either into his den or if they don't drive him into his den, what else happens?
Well, a lot of times they just disappear and you have no idea how they dumped you. And often the fox is usually a quarter of a mile, a half a mile ahead of them. If you can see the fox, then you know he's going to go to ground pretty quickly because they're getting too close. I've had foxes that have fooled me for years. I don't know how they get away from me. And I'll lose them at a specific point, and there's no den. But they can jump on the top of fences because it's higher than the hounds' noses and walk along. I've seen them do that.
Oh, sure, they change clothes in the ladies' room.
They're extremely smart. All of Western culture uses the fox as its symbol of intelligence and slyness. And when you hunt them, you realize why.
My guest is Rita Mae Brown. Her new book, Full Cry, you can meet her at Tattered Cover, Cherry Creek tonight, 7:30. Let's go to the phones. Van calling from Boulder. Hi, you're live with Enid and Rita Mae Brown on AM 1150. Hi, Van.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
It sounds as if your guest is, pretty passionate about, her hobby. I've got a den of foxes that show up, seems like every 2 or 3 years. They live out behind my house. And I don't know if foxes, shift dens, but, I watch them, watch them have their pups and raise their pups and hunt the squirrels and, all that sort of thing. And I really can't see the fox enjoying this at all.
I know
that you're deriving a great deal of pleasure from it, but it really seems wrong to me.
I don't know if they enjoy it or not, but they know how to get rid of us.
So right, but I mean, I hunt. And I hunt, and then I eat what I kill.
Well, they don't kill, but they don't kill the foxes here.
You chase a fox 60, 70 miles.
No, the hounds will cover that much territory. You might only chase the fox for two, and then he dumps you.
Right.
Do you still think
I think you're romanticizing something that's very barbaric.
Well, then
and,
I'm a,
and serves no purpose other than sport.
That's okay. It's my life, and I'm going to do what I want.
Right, but what if somebody decides that hunting you is fun? That would suck.
You know what? I'll get away from them, too.
Right.
Van, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. My guest, Rita Mae Brown. So the fox hunt. All right, so you don't kill the fox. You just consider it a win or what do you call it in fox hunting when you drive the fox to ground and he goes into
just
his foxy den?
That you've put him to ground. You say you've accounted for him, which means you know where he is. And then, you go back. Or you try to find another one, depending on the day, how long you've been out. But, for instance, 3 weeks ago I was out, and it got hot very quickly. It started out cool. And I had out about 25 hounds. And we got a little bit of scent. We had a little bit of chase, but then nothing. So I brought him back along a creek bed. I thought, well, I'll get something. But I didn't get anything. And walking on my right, 20 yards away from me, was the fox, because he knew we couldn't get his scent. So he's just walking along, looking at me, looking at the hounds, looking at all the people, basically saying, you are really stupid. And you know what? Compared to him, I am.
Rita Mae Brown, her new book, Full Cry, you can meet her at Tattered Cover, Cherry Creek, tonight at 7:30. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 2:35, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 66 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Lockheed Martin. The State Health Department's flu hotline is getting lots of phone calls. In its first 4 hours of operation this morning, the hotline fielded more than 750 calls. While hotline staffers can't give you a diagnosis, they can answer your other questions about the flu. The flu hotline number is 877-462-2911. If voters say yes next year, RTD's light rail system will grow four times larger. The RTD Board of Directors approved a plan last night to add six new spurs to the light rail system. The $5 billion Fast Tracks program will get underway in 2005 and take 12 years to complete. Authorities are concerned that heroin may be making a comeback in the metro area. DEA agents have seized more than 100 ounces of the drug in two separate and unrelated cases in the past few days. Over the last few months, they've seized an estimated $500,000 of heroin. In sports, it's the Denver Nuggets versus the Milwaukee Bucks tonight at the Pepsi Center. Nuggets dropped last night's game to the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Colorado Avalanche beat the Anaheim Mighty Ducks 2-1 in overtime last night. Tomorrow, the Avs play host to the New York Rangers. Who can thrive with the freedom to explore? You can, with a Lockheed Martin team. For details on current career opportunities, visit LockheedMartinEvents.com. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:37.
Belcaro Paint and Decorating hopes you'll forgive us for bragging a little. We've won an award. And because the environment is really important to us, we're pretty proud of it. Belcaro was recently named a recipient of the Environmental Achievement Award by the state of Colorado. What's our achievement? It's the Wet Paint Color Swatch program, which Belcaro pioneered nationally. As you know, choosing the right paint color is usually by trial and error. In the past, consumers had to buy an entire quart to get a sample. Wrong colors often get tossed out and eventually make their way into the environment. But Belcaro offers 1.5-ounce paint swatches, enough to cover 4 square feet, and more than enough to make the right decision. They're inexpensive and come in more than 6,000 colors, including our entire Benjamin Moore line. Wet paint color swatches. Good for you, good for the environment. From Belcaro Paint and Decorating, a Benjamin Moore quality paint dealer. 5475 Leedsdale Drive, just one block west of Holly. Online at belcaro.com.
KNRC News Time is 2:38. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is sponsored by the Hallmark Channel, and we do got a couple small problems in the cleanup stages. Northbound I-25 at Alameda had an earlier van that was in the intersection, or actually on the right lane. Watch for that. Should be out of there. Also, a ladder in the road southbound I-25 at Yale as well should be out of there. And we do got continuing construction on Morrison between Garrison and Wadsworth. Don't miss the original holiday television premiere, A Time to Remember, starring Doris Roberts and Dana Delaney, this Sunday at 6 p.m. only on the Hallmark Channel, where great holiday stories come to life. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm meteorologist Ken Weathers with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Enjoy these spring-like temperatures while you can. It'll stay breezy the rest of the afternoon with highs near 67. Partly cloudy tonight, 36. A mix of sun and clouds, still warm on Thursday near 70. That's an afternoon rain showers Friday, 55. Windy, much colder with snow Saturday, 24. For the Weather Channel, I'm meteorologist Ken Weathers on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 66 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:39. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Enid Goldstein. Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the parquet and mezzanine all-in-one sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you.
The CSO, the Colorado Symphony Chorus, and the CSO French Horn Section all in one performance. Join the CSO this weekend in a performance of Mozart, Schumann, and Rossini. That's this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, November 21st through 23rd. Tickets available at all King Supers, Tickets West outlets, and online at coloradosymphony.org.
And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100.
KNRC Market Watch.
Wall Street's major averages snapped a four-day losing streak. This following a report showing new housing starts hitting their highest level in nearly 18 years. Let's take a look at those numbers now. The Dow Industrials gained 66 points to 9690. The NASDAQ rose 18 points to an even 1900. The S&P 500 added 8 points to 1042. Big board volume was about 1.3 billion shares. Advancers beat decliners by a 19-13 margin. Just out, Hewlett-Packard his top quarterly profit estimates thanks to strong printer and PC sales. Ahead of that news, Bank of America had initiated coverage of HP with a buy rating, and investors did just that, stock up 69 cents a share. Elsewhere, GE, the day's busiest stock on the NYSE, and it provided the Dow's biggest percentage push, rising about 3.5%. GE expects steady to higher profits next year, and it will raise its quarterly dividend to 20 cents a share. I'm Steve Orr from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150.
We hear you.
303-382-1150. Close as your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
241 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. My guest in studio, Rita Mae Brown, her brand new book, part of a series where animals play a significant role, and you can see why. The book is called Full Cry. You can meet her at Tattered Cover Cherry Creek tonight at 7:30. We have people on the line who want to talk to her. We've been talking about fox hunting, but we're going to be talking about Denver, too, and the literary life. 303-382-1150. You want to join the conversation. Let's head over to Littleton. Catherine, hi. You're live with Enid and Rita Mae Brown on AM 1150 KNRC. Catherine?
Excuse me. Are you?
I think we're having a hard time.
No. Is it really going to be the...
Catherine, I think we're having a hard time hearing you. Let's head over to Lena in Capitol Hill. Hi, Lena. You're live with Enid and Rita Mae Brown on AM 1150 KNRC.
Well, hi. Thanks. Actually, I am enjoying hearing about this. If I were younger and had a possibility around, I would probably consider it.
How much younger do you think you have to be?
Well, I'm 52.
Oh, you're a spring chicken.
Yeah, you're just an apple.
And I have to be sure I don't break any bones because I really have to be able to get along at his feet. You know, it's not that I take things slow, but I don't ski either. But, no, the real point that I called about was I wanted to make a constructive suggestion. And that is kind of addressing the point that the fellow from PETA had who called earlier. I know he said Boulder, but perhaps somebody in the party could be carrying along a cage with a nice fat chicken. And when you run the darling fox to ground, everybody leaves, but the chicken stays.
Well,
that's
know,
his Elena, reward.
Elena, that's a very good suggestion, but I'll tell you that I've got foxes all around the back of my house, and they just go in my chicken coop. I don't have to leave them a chicken. They just wipe me out.
Well, I know, but they are.
Can they break in?
Less habitat due to more people living.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, though. One of the things that might interest you, because that's such a clever suggestion, is we regularly worm them. And if we can trap them in the first year of their life, we give them rabies shots because we're very passionate about breaking the rabies cycles.
You know, I appreciate the fact that it is a game, and I would feel a lot better about it if, just a little more food going their way.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Lena. We appreciate the call. We were talking in the break and talking about Rita Mae Brown's book tour, which has taken her. She's been on the road for about a month, almost a couple of weeks anyway, two, 3 weeks. or it feels like two or three years.
Yeah,
talking about Denver and talking about the tattered cover, and I have said very often, we get the best authors in Denver because of the tattered cover, a quality of author that I think much larger cities don't get on a routine basis because of Joyce Meskis and what she has done. And you were talking about Denver and your observations about Denver, and I want to hear because, as everybody knows, I'm only been here a year and a half, and so I'm so new. I love to hear you take us about Denver.
Denver rewards energy. Denver rewards new ideas and people that stick to it. And the Tattered has always been my model for that, because I first went to the Tattered cover when it was in a little room about the size of a laundromat. They were just starting out, and look where they are now. And they kept at it. The city supported them. They've created people always read here, but they gave them a focal point. They recognized what was missing in the town, and they supplied it. But, just look at what's happened in Denver in the last 30 years. I mean, first all the Canadian oil money came in, and then it all ran out in the 80s. But Denver came back. You know, it was down on its uppers, but it came back. Nobody gave up. I mean, maybe the people that came here from the Midwest and thought, you know, the streets were paved with gold went back to Iowa or Michigan or wherever. I don't know. But the tough ones stayed, and everybody got through that crisis. And, you know, Denver's back on top again. But people like the Tattered. This whole city is full of stories like that. The whole rehabilitation of Laramie Square.
Larimer Square. Yeah.
I mean,
actually, a good friend of mine, Dana Crawford, is the one who was responsible for that.
I mean, it's brilliant.
And preserving historic Denver at a time when everybody wanted the modern thing to do was urban renew it and level it.
And the Goodstein family, who've given a lot of money to the hospital. The other thing that I find very interesting about Denver is it doesn't sit on its laurels. The residents of this area are always looking for a better way to do things, and I like that. But they're not pretentious. They're not looking down their nose at anybody else. And there's still a real pioneer sense here that does not exist in Boston. I mean, Boston has its own virtues. But when you come to Denver, you know you finally reach the West.
Some people have criticized Denver as trying too hard to be like California, but I don't think see that. I don't see that at all.
No, Denver is its own place. Colorado is a very distinctive environment, and it's a hard environment. And also, you have had the great good luck to have some fabulous public servants, Pat Schroeder.
Mm-hmm.
And she's more liberal than I am about many things, but what a dedicated public servant. What good she did for this state. You know, you've been lucky.
Talk to me about the arc of your life. You know, you went to NYU. You always thought that you would write. You were able to do that. Very few writers are able to make any kind of a living at writing. And you've done it in a way. You've done it in various media, not simply in books, but you've written fiction. You've written nonfiction. You're writing mysteries. You've got a couple. You're in the middle of a mystery series about a cat, Sneaky Pie Brown. That's a series. So you're working on a couple of things at once. How do you manage to do this? And are you surprised at the arc of your life?
Well, no, because I don't think about it. I just do it.
You were saying earlier that, unlike most people, you just do whatever you want to do.
I do.
Have you always been that way? I mean, now you're in a position to be able to do that.
Yeah, I have been.
But you were not always, certainly you were not always starting out in that position.
Well, a child growing up in the South, I mean, I had to do cotillion, I had to do Bible school, I had to do catechism. But, you know, because if you don't, your parents will beat you. So, physical force.
Yeah, but you couldn't call child support services then either.
Well, no, you
and
just...
turn them in.
Well, we all turned out okay. But, you know, so I did those things, but they gave me an underpinning. I mean, I could talk to the Queen of England if I had to. After all those years of cotillion, you know what to do. But I never...
Well, you should be in there standing in for George Bush. He looks like he's caught in the headlights.
Does he? Oh, poor thing. By the way, you know, they all fox hunt. The royal family.
Yeah,
but
they do.
It's different in England. But anyway.
And sometimes they marry what they catch, but that's another story.
That's pretty good. But the.
I've covered that family, I know.
Oh, God. That most people are caught in obligations that they don't want. Social obligations. And you know, oh, you'll upset your dear Aunt Minnie if you don't do X, Y, and Z. Well, yeah, you got to do some things, but most people then get in this track. And they don't really do what they're here to do. They don't really develop their talents. And this whole society, in ways, is set to take you away from yourself. You're just, remember Charlie Chaplin's movie about the man caught in the machine?
Modern Times.
Yeah, well, that's where everybody is. They're caught in the machine, and they don't know how to get out.
Well, the machine demands, it has a place for you as long as you fulfill the requirements of being a cog in the wheel of that machine. And if you venture outside of that cocoon to the universe of self-realization, or not even knowing how you want to realize yourself, but knowing that the cog maybe doesn't fit very well, you're in a very scary landscape, and particularly in tough economic times. It's not easy to do that. A lot of people are, I think it takes a lifetime to find out what you're really suited for. And by the time you find out, it's a little late.
Well, it sure is for a lot of people. But, I mean, I feel like we've evolved into a two-class society. Those who work all the time and those who don't work at all. And I look at my friends just, I mean, and me too. I mean, I work hard, but at least I love what I do. Whereas a lot of people don't love what they do. And I keep thinking, you know, you're going to be dead a long time. Wake up.
It's true, and it goes by very quickly.
Yeah, do it now.
My mom always said it goes by in the blink of an eye. My guest is Rita Mae Brown, her new book, Full Cry. Talk to me about what has happened in Massachusetts, gay marriage being legal. Now, you and Martina were a couple. I don't think you're remotely shy about your sexual orientation. The possibility for you to be able to marry another woman. How does that seem right now if you were a resident of Massachusetts?
Well, I think straight marriages are bad enough. Why do I want a gay one? You know?
Why open yourself up to heartbreak, divorce?
But you have to realize, I mean, I'm irreverent by nature, but I remember my mother saying to me, honey, the bonds of matrimony are so heavy, it takes two, sometimes three, to carry them. So I was never terribly attracted to the institution. But if that's what people want to do, I think in their deep desire to make that commitment and ask for the support of their friends, because marriage is, in essence, a public statement of your intentions.
Well, and legal rights, too. If somebody gets sick, you know, can your partner visit you, or will the family stand in the way? And what about rights of survivorship and so on?
I mean, I see it as a reinforcement of the institution. I mean, I realize that the religious right is going to huff and puff and carry on. Oh, they're going to huff and puff and carry on about anything. Who cares? It's just one more thing to pitch a fit and fall in it.
But they say it undermines marriage, and I don't know how much more you can undermine it when the divorce rate is about 50%.
Well, you know, when Lisa Marie Presley can marry Michael Jackson, I mean, I would say that's fairly well undermining marriage.
So you are working on what right now?
Well, Sneaky Pie the cat is working on yet another mystery. And when I get home, she'll probably be done. I want to start another one of my books about a woman who's in her early 40s. Her kids are finally in college, and she wants to make peace with her ex-husband. She had a messy divorce years, and she also had a certain amount of affairs. So it was a girl with a lot of energy. And, of course, she goes back to make her amends and naturally just turns into a terrible mess.
How did these ideas for plots come to you? Because I imagine you have a really active imagination. And when you decide to develop one over another, how do you make that decision?
I don't know. They just sort of come like children. You don't mess with them. But you're never at a loss for stories in the South, because the South, we still tell one another stories. We remember our families. I mean, my family got there in 1620. They tell stories back to 1620. And the other thing is, of course, that you realize in the South, it's magnolia upstairs and skunk cabbage in the basement.
What's the story of your life?
That I got what I wanted.
Rita Mae Brown, that will be your epitaph when you never die. I'm Enid Goldstein. You've been listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. Rita Mae Brown's new book, Full Cry, you can meet her tonight, Tattered Cover, Cherry Creek, at 7:30. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Denver's best kept secret, the only station where you can hear hosts with all points of view. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Music of Your Life would like to hear from our listeners. If you own a national business or work in the advertising department for a national business that could advertise on our radio network, please contact us. Music of Your Life could sell your company's product. We reach over 2 million listeners with expendable incomes. We can send you a long list of Music of Your Life advertisers and information on the network. The first 100 callers who call and send their business card will receive this great new Glenn Miller CD. We'll forward the new CD to the first 100 potential advertisers.
please call 212-947-0049, extension 304. That's 212-947-0049, extension 304. Call, and Music of Your Life will help increase your sales.
Out here, the checkered flag means someone's about to win. And right now, at participating Goodyear retailers, the checkered flag means all Goodyear brand tires are on sale. Race to the finish and save big on a wide selection of Goodyear's most popular tires. And when you buy four selected Goodyear tires, you'll get up to $75 cash from a mail-in rebate. For complete details, call 1-800-GOODYEAR or visit any participating Goodyear retailer. But hurry, because on December 6th, this offer and big tire sale is finished.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Are drugs affecting you, your family, or a friend? Narconon provides answers to drug addiction. They offer free assessment and referral services to over 11,000 treatment centers nationwide. For 30 years, Narconon has successfully used a drug-free approach to long-term recovery that works. They understand the cravings, guilt, and depression associated with addiction. To find out more about Narconon, log on to www.stopaddiction.com or call 1-800-468-6933.
Who can thrive with the freedom to explore? You can with the Lockheed Martin team. For details on current career opportunities, visit LockheedMartinEvents.com.
Tune in Saturday mornings from 10 a.m. to noon for Style Matters, sponsored locally by Aspen Grove, where life meets style. Style Matters is a weekly discussion of the Denver lifestyle as it relates to fashion and style. Style Matters is hosted by Judy Schwartz and Eve Linda Ehrman of the Style Matters column in the Rocky Mountain News. Saturdays 10 to noon, tune in to Style Matters for discussions about fashion, style, and local shopping. Sponsored by Aspen Grove. Shopping Colorado style. On AM 1150, KNRC.
2:56 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. And tomorrow, I think it's just going to be you and me, kid, and no guests. But Friday, we'll be joined by somebody who whose work I've admired for a long time. Her name is Jean Shinoda Bolan. She's an MD. She's a psychiatrist. She's written a number of best-selling books, one of them on synchronicity. The new one is called Concentrated Wisdom for Juicy Women. So God knows, we could we can always use a little more wisdom. And next week, Martin Amis is going to be joining us. He's the English author that everybody's been talking about for a long time. And his father was a well-known author as well. And Clive Cussler will be joining us down the line. So we have a lot of good guests lined up. And if you miss Rita Mae Brown, you can catch her tonight at Tattered Cover, Cherry Creek, at 7:30. If you're just joining us, we have really had a vibrant show today. We've been talking about a lot of things. We've been talking about Bush in England and the fact that somebody was able to breach his security, a reporter for a newspaper who managed to sign on as palace staff about a month ago. Nobody vetted his credentials. He said that he had done this, that, and the other, and he hadn't done any of it, so clearly nobody had checked it. So big security breach in a time of terrorism. That's all the talk in England right now. There is a state dinner, Queen Elizabeth sitting next to George W. Bush, who does look like he's been caught in the headlights, caught by his white tie that looks a little bit too tight. Also, Laura looks a little bit more comfortable. I think it would be so much fun to be a fly on the wall. And Queen Elizabeth sort of is treating him like kind of a fly speck anyway. We've also been talking about Andrew Resnick, Channel 9 weekend anchor caught with three ecstasy pills, and Rush Limbaugh, you know, who has ingested mountains of stuff allegedly over the years, and how come one goes off to the pokey and suffers the possible, you know, question mark about his career, whereas the other one is back in the saddle again, and so far no criminal charges, although he is being investigated for money laundering. We've been talking also about Michael Jackson. There is an arrest warrant out for him, child molestation charges, a 12-year-old child, and I don't know, his CD, Jocko's CD, is number one in England. So just like Rush coming back from rehab, his listening audience, the number will spike. Maybe the same thing will happen for Jocko, but I wonder if his career isn't over. And what kind of a parent are you to let your kid do an overnight, a sleepover with a 47-year-old man, and they're sleeping together in the same bed? I mean, hello. Is this, I mean, we have to court-mandated parenting 101. Thank you, Joe Anderson, for doing a great job producing. Thank you, Jordan Lyles, for all the good work you do. Thanks to all of you who have called and listened. Doug Kellett up next from 3 to 6, from 6 to 9. Billy on tonight, in Dominic's absence, I think, with a guest host. I'm Enid Goldstein. I'll see you back here tomorrow, noon to 3, on KNRC. Do something generous, will you? Leave the world a better place than you found it, and I'll see you back here at noon. We'll check in and figure out what's going on and how we can solve the world's problems.
KNRC 1150. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Doug Kellett is straight ahead. It's 3 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 66 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by MLT Vacations. The phones are literally ringing off the hook at the State Health Department's flu hotline. The hotline began operations this morning at 7 a.m., and within the first 4 hours, it logged more than 750 calls. Colorado Flu Hotline Supervisor Anna Soroka tells us the most frequently asked questions that she's received.
Do I have the flu? These are my symptoms. What can I do about it?
Hotline staffers can't give you a diagnosis over the phone, but they can answer most of your other questions about the flu. The hotline is open 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. The hotline number is 877-462-2911. The Swiss man charged with offering to kill Kobe Bryant's Colorado accuser was in a Los Angeles courtroom today for a preliminary hearing. The judge continued the case until December 11th after prosecutors revealed they now have information about a grand theft charge against Patrick Graber. The prosecutors say Graber agreed to carry out an attack on the Lakers star's 19-year-old accuser for $1 million. Graber was arrested after picking up a bag that he thought contained